because this lineup has been kind of together for a lot more time now, the errors have gone down, and you're kind of seeing the fruits of the same team kind of having success and playing with each other a lot more. You're seeing a lot better defensive plays and a lot less mistakes from them. So I think that'll be a big part of it. And for West Virginia, just that really, as much as the offense is big for them right now, their defense will be a huge part of how this series goes, and it starts with the game today.
We see now meeting of the managers here at home plate, Jed Jerko along with Joe Oliver discussing some ground rules here at the Mon with the three umpires ahead of tonight's contest as they complete the annual tradition of handshakes and make their way back to the dugout as both pitchers have completed warm-ups, and here's Bill Nevin with tonight's starting lineups.
Leading off and playing center field, number 6, Daniel Figueroa. Batting second and playing second base, number 10, Dylan Foy. Batting third and playing right field, number 43, Kendall Ewell. Inning cleanup and playing left field, number 26, Hunter Jump. Batting fifth and playing shortstop, number 12, Harold Cole. Batting sixth, the designated
There you have it. Tonight's official starting lineups from Bill Nevin, the voice of Mon County, being of the national anthem as we are set for baseball here at Mon County Ballpark between the visiting Frederick Keys and your West Virginia Black Bears. First of three in this series. So we take a look at the Black Bears defensive alignment. Of course, Matthew Tiding taking the hill for West Virginia. Mauricio Milan, his battery mate tonight. The infield from left to right, Garrick Englund at the hot corner, Sam Antonacci in the hole at short, Xavier Pinales manning second base, and Ryan Hernandez over at first. Your outfield from left to right, Merrick Chaloup, Caden Trenkel, and Sam Crail, who has found himself a home out there in right field here at Mon County Ballpark. The first three hitters that Matthew Tiding will have to deal with are Daniel Figueroa, Dylan Hoy, and the ever-dangerous Kendall Yule that we heard Manny point out here as the player to watch for the Frederick Keys, as Tiding gets to work through some final warm-up pitches here, ensuring that him and Mauricio Milan are, in fact, on the same page. Mentioned that it was both of these pitchers' first starts here in the MLB Draft League. Both of them have not allowed a hit through each of their first appearances, so it'll be interesting to see whose hitless inning streak comes to an end first in terms of tonight's matchup. Again, a reminder, home plate umpire Brian Fisher, they'll be calling the balls and strikes. Mark Mayall over at first base and Chris Richards at third base. So we'll be starting just a few minutes here behind schedule. The original 6:35 start time come and gone at this point, but something that we are very much used to here with games starting just a little bit behind as a result of a variety of reasons, but nonetheless, we will be having baseball here tonight. Great to be here with you. Myself, Drew Von Sayo, alongside Manny Mara Diego, as Milan throws down to second to complete the warm-ups and out of Indian Hills College. Of course, Figueroa hitting 362 to this point here in the MLB Draft League, looking to get things started for the Frederick Keys. Tiding utilizing a four-pitch mix. Get set to toe the rubber here for the first time at Mon County Ballpark. Gets his sign from Mauricio Milan, delivers the pitch from the windup, and it's a first pitch fastball that misses outside.
And again, going off those two pitchers, who responds the best after getting their hitless streak broken up? It will be huge in this game.
1-0 from Tiding, goes back to the fastball, down to 89, but gets it to catch the zone at knee height to even the count, a ball and a strike. Daniel Figueroa, last appearance for the Frederick Keys, 2-for-3 as he chops this one foul back towards the first base dugout, almost taking out our photography intern. Mike managed to dodge that bullet as that one was ripped towards him in the camera well.
Had to drop down a few steps there, Mike. Good reaction time, though.
Tiding getting set here for the 1-2, brings the ball to his chest and then comes home. Off-speed pitch in the dirt, blocked by Milan. The count evens 2-2.
Looks like he's trying to establish that breaking ball or those off-speed pitches early.
Certainly something that you want to do if you're Matthew Tiding, as both middle infielders for West Virginia have their heels on the outfield grass. The 2-2 pitch comes home, and it's called strike three on the inner half of the plate as Tiding throws him with the fastball, and there's one gone in the top of the first.
No chance there for Figueroa. We see it here again. Just that fastball there, knee high, perfect location on the outside part of the plate. No chance, never even moved. Great start here for Tiding.
And now Dylan Hoy will stand in for Frederick, Keys' second baseman tonight. Looking to get something going offensively out of Monroe, New York. As Tiding gets the sign once again from Milan, brings the first pitch of the at-bat home, and it's fouled straight back and hits about 10 feet to our left. An early strike here against Tiding, or for Tiding.
In all the games we've done, that was the pitch that, to me, seemed the closest that was going to come up in here, Drew.
Absolutely. Certainly getting closer. 0-1 pitch off speed there from Tiding, and he catches the outer corner. to get ahead in the count. No balls and two strikes. Looked like the changeup that time from the Black Bears right-hander.
Strong control right out of the gate from Tang. I like what I'm seeing from him so far.
Hoy gets set here. Tiding 0-2 pitch. Misses up and in with the fastball. Ramped it up to 91. But Hoy gets to work himself back into the count now. A ball and two strikes.
Struggled last time out. Dylan Hoy went 0-for-4 in his last game.
Hoy certainly looking to rebound from that line as the 1-2 pitch, curveball in the dirt that gets through the legs of Mauricio Milan, and we're back even 2-2.
Again, another breaking ball there. Just got away from him there and away from Milan. I would probably go back here to the fastball. He seems to have good control of it so far and has already a strikeout.
Certainly something to see here as Tiding delivers the 2-2, and it's a little flare out into left field. Schloop with the beat on it, able to bring it in for a routine out number two. And we get to see Merrick Schloop in action here for the first time at Mon County Ballpark.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. The ball was flown out there to Schloop, and just very calm and collected out there, battling the sun, as are most of the outfield, as more of the defense is tonight. But never a doubt there. Good second out.
Now it'll bring up Kendall Yule here for Frederick, hitting .348 thus far in the MLB Draft League. Product of Eastern Kentucky University. Stands in at 6'3", 210 pounds. First pitch he sees from Tiding. Off speed, misses down and away for ball one.
Now this is the matchup I was looking forward to the most, seeing how Tiding first approaches this first at-bat against him.
Yule quickly calling time and then right back into the batter's box here on one ball. Catches the inner corner to even the count, a ball and a strike. Kendall Yule, 40th round selection by the Colorado Rockies back in 2019. Actually played in the Appalachian League for Bluefield Ridge Runners. His manager, none other than Joe Oliver, in the dugout for him now as the 1-1 pitch. Change up, able to catch the inner part of the plate, and Tiding gets ahead, a ball and two strikes.
Great pitch selection there. Had him in the fastball with that same location before. Went to the changeup there. Great start from Tiding.
Tiding looking to get out of the inning here. Brings the ball to his chest and then delivers the 1-2, and it's waved at and missed in the dirt as Tiding goes to the curveball and gets Yule to miss. Two punch outs as Tiding faces the minimum here in the top half of the first, and the Black Bears come to bat for the first time with no score here at Mon County Ballpark. All set for the bottom of the first inning as Gio Rivera works here with his battery mate tonight, David Castillo. Infield from left to right here for Frederick. Joe Chu over at the hot corner. Third base, Harold Cole manning shortstop. Dylan Hoy over at first base in the Frederick outfield from left to right. Hunter Jump, Daniel Figueroa, Kendall Yule. Three outfielders we saw quite frequently here the last time the Frederick Keys came to town. And for Gio Rivera, he'll be facing off here against Sam Crail, Sam Antonacci, and Ryan Hernandez, three very dangerous hitters atop the West Virginia Black Bears batting order. See a little conversation going on here between Jed Jerko and Joe Oliver just behind the right-handed batter's box. Saw Jed Jerko pointing down somewhere near the third base line, and then the two quickly disperse and make their way back to their dugouts. Of course, we gain any insight on what that conversation may have been about, we'll be sure to bring that to you as Sam Crail now makes his way up to the plate. Crail hitting 368, leading the MLB Draft League in the RBI category. As he spoke on the pregame show yesterday before the game that never happened, a tribute to the guys in the bottom of the order to get on ahead of Sam Crail, but also speaks to Crail as a hitter. Product of St. Leo University, swings and fouls the first pitch back to the netting. Now Gio Rivera, the one getting ahead here, no balls and a strike.
Not the most ideal location there. Obviously, Sam seemed to have liked where that pitch was in early pitch swing on that.
0-1 pitch from Rivera. Fastball misses up and away. The count levels, a ball and a strike. You mentioned the battle here between the two starting pitchers, seeing whose hitless inning streak can go the longest. Matthew Tydings went at least one more as Rivera steps off the rubber. Crail out of the batter's box. Now play set to resume here at Mon County Ballpark. 1-1 pitch. Crail takes the off-speed at the top of the zone, and Rivera establishes his dominance with the off-speed and gets ahead, a ball and two strikes.
Sam Crail, seemed like you wanted it initially, then you just saw that great drop there on that pitch.
1-2 from Rivera, in and out of the glove of his battery mate Castillo on the pitch that was well outside. We're back even 2-2.
Bit too much movement there for Castillo there. Never really going to threat Sam Crail to want to swing at that.
Sam Crail, second stint here in the MLB Draft League, was with Mahoning Valley last season. 2-2 pitch to him, fouled over the awning and out of play on the third base side of the ballpark. The count will stay right where it is.
Good fight by Sam Crail there. Look for this to be an out of strike zone pitch here.
Rivera from the windup brings the pitch home, and Crail fouls it off again, heading down there towards section 101 on the third base side of the ballpark. Of course, Sam Crail, certainly familiar with elite-level pitching, as he was a former product of Indiana University there in the Big Ten, even getting the opportunity to be crowned a Big Ten conference champion as Rivera delivers his 2-2 pitch, and Crail spoils it again, sending this one towards the road here in terms of Jerko Drive. And he'll see another 2-2.
Again, great fight by Sam Crail. If you're Rivera out there, I would show him probably a breaking ball pitch out of the zone just so he can't have to foul it off.
Another 2-2 does, in fact, go off speed outside the zone, and Crail's discipline at the plate allows him to hold up. Crail thought about it, we see on the replay, but was able to keep the hands from going around, and now Rivera winds up the payoff pitch. Crail spoiling it again, hitting it into the netting above the Keys dugout. That was the ninth pitch of the at-bat between Rivera and Crail.
And if you've never seen Crail play before, this is exactly why he is leading this Black Bears lineup.
Payoff pitch to him, and Crail will spoil it once again and send it down into the concourse on the left field side of the ballpark. You see a young Black Bears fan going to retrieve that foul ball, and now Gio Rivera into the double-digit mark for pitches and has yet to officially record a hitter faced or an out. Gets the sign once again from Castillo. Another 3-2 pitch home, and this time blows it by Crail up to 92 for out number one.
Kind of let out all his frustration there on that fast, but put everything behind it. No chance for Crail to get a catch up with that one.
And now it'll bring up Sam Antonacci, who gets set to try and be the first Black Bear to reach base here tonight. 400 hitter in the draft league. This was a two-sport athlete at Sacred Heart Griffin High School. First pitch to him misses down and in. Aside from playing baseball, he was an all-conference athlete in basketball as well. Antonacci out of Heartland Community College in Illinois. Hometown of Springfield, also in Illinois, so staying within the state at least for his first year as he swings at the 1-0 pitch and fouls it into the netting again above the Keys dugout, just like we saw Sam Crail do, and the count evens, a ball and a strike.
and you always want your best athletes out there defensively, especially in the infield, to make just some of the outstanding plays that Sam Antonucci actually displayed for us here just a couple nights ago.
Athleticism certainly paying off for him as the 1-1 pitch is grounded back up the middle. Sam Antonucci reaches with a one-out single, and it's the first hit that Gio Rivera concedes in the MLB Draft League.
Just solid contact there. Got the spot he wanted and just laced it really right back up the middle. No chance for Hoy or Cora to get a glove on that. Great piece of hitting there.
And now it brings up the ever-dangerous Ryan Hernandez. 417 hitter here with West Virginia since joining the team. Will be a week ago tomorrow before the start of the series in Maryland against these Frederick Keys. He spent 2019 at San Jacinto Community College before transferring to University of Houston. As Gio Rivera brings the first pitch to him, it's a fastball, but it misses a bit too far inside, and Rivera falls behind in the count. Hernandez showing off his discipline there at the plate.
Might have got away with one there. It was too far inside for Brian Fisher, but it was very close there.
There's Hernandez, a three-sport athlete, lettering in football, basketball, and baseball at 1-0 pitch to the netting back towards the Black Bears dugout. We talked about the athleticism of Sam Antonucci and Ryan Hernandez right up there with him as well.
Absolutely, and he's got the frame of, to back that up, 6'4", 240, just an intimidating presence out there for any pitcher facing up against him.
Hernandez out of Boston, Massachusetts. Rivera comes set, brings the 1-1 pitch home. It's chopped back to the mound. Rivera flips it to second for one. Hoy bobbling it in the process, but third base umpire Chris Richards signaling that the bobble was from the transfer of glove to hand, so the out at second still stands.
That was very close as we see it here. Antonucci was, yeah, it was a good call there by the umpire there. It was on the transition there, and just too late for Hoy to ever make a play on Hernandez.
So now designated hitter tonight, Hunter May steps in for West Virginia, a 357 hitter out of Alabama State, and a product of Slidell, Louisiana. First pitch to him off speed at 80 miles per hour, missing the outer portion of the zone.
Good discipline being shown early on by the Black Bears hitters, those big four, like we mentioned, at the top of the lineup.
Rivera coming set here. Pitch misses, rather catches the inside corner of the zone to even the count. A ball and a strike, a little bit of a delayed call there from home plate umpire Brian Fisher, but count evens at a 1-1.
Tried to secure that ball call there. Was Hunter May with the hands, but call the strike anyway.
1-1 to May, misses outside. A fastball that time from Rivera as the Black Bears DH gets back ahead in the count. Hunter May mentioned he was at Alabama State, got the opportunity to face the number one ranked team in the country in the NCAA tournament this year, that being 10-2-1 pitch there, with Rivera going to his slider to even the count at 2-2.
Going to say that slider making its appearance yet again. Good location this time around, and really fooled Hunter May there.
Rivera continuing to work from the stretch here for Frederick as he stares in towards Castillo to get the sign. Long pause in the 2-2 pitch. Misses down and away. Change up that time from Rivera, and the count runs full to Hunter May.
Very similar to the location of the slider, almost the exact same spot there. Good spot here for Hunter May to really do some damage here, as he knows he can't afford a walk here for Rivera.
Sam Antonucci, rather, Ryan Hernandez will be off on motion. Payoff pitch home, and Hunter May waves at it and misses. We see Brian Fisher signaling a foul tip into the glove of David Castillo, so the one-out single from Sam Antonucci is erased as Gio Rivera faces four hitters. We're through one here at Mon County Ballpark. No score in game one of three between the Keys and the Black Bears. Back for the top of the second inning here is Hunter Jump, Harold Cole, Jake Plastiak, 4, 5, and 6 are set to come to the plate here for Frederick against Matthew Tiding, taking the hill for inning number 2. Recorded a pair of punch outs in the top half of the first inning as he caught Figueroa looking and got Yule to swing and miss on a 1-2 count. Hunter Jump out of Aliso Viejo in California takes the first pitch fastball, misses the top of the zone. Hunter Jump gets ahead, a ball and no strikes.
Comes into this one batting at 289 through 11 games played. 11 hits, 2.
1-0 pitch from Tiding catches the outer corner down to 78 there from the Black Bears right-hander as he dropped in a changeup. Evens the count, 1-1. Aliso Viejo in California, the home of Twins shortstop Royce Lewis, as that pitch is fouled over the third base awning, and Tiding quickly gets ahead again, a ball and two strikes.
Played his ball at Kentucky, so has faced a lot of promising and good pitchers in at Kentucky.
SEC, one of the elite levels of college baseball. 1-2 changeup misses down and away that time to Jump. We're back even 2-2. Of course, Hunter Jump also spent last summer in the Cape Cod League as he chops his 2-2 pitch to second. Pinales up with it, slings it over to Hernandez for out number 1.
Good good feeling there by Xavier Pinales. Never really going to have any trouble with that. Made sure to see that through the glove. And just an easy flip there to Ryan Hernandez for the easy out.
Now it brings up the Frederick shortstop, Harold Cole, with one gone, nobody on. Massachusetts, just like the Black Bears' Ryan Hernandez, and a product of San Jacinto College. First pitch to him, misses up and in. His Tiding went off speed that time.
Thought it just cut in, caught, enough of the corner there, but home plate umpire saw it differently.
1-0 pitch, and that one is fouled back and out of play on the first base side of the ballpark. That one got out of here in a hurry, and we're even 1-1. Tuesday, Cole went 1-for-3 with a walk as he sees that 1-1 pitch missed down and away to him that time. Cole getting back ahead, 2 balls and a strike. Tiding went off speed once again. Harold Cole originally committed to play at North Carolina, but opted for the JUCO route. As the 88-mile-per-hour fastball runs inside, Cole has to jump out of the way, and he gets ahead, 3 balls and a strike.
Again, a big trend that we've seen so far with the pitches from Tiny is that a lot of the players haven't moved off of the location of them.
3-1 from Tiding, fastball outer corner taken for strike 2, and that'll run the count full to the key shortstop. Knee height as we see on the replay. Beautiful framing from Milan. Payoff pitch. And it's called strike 3 again on the outer part of the plate. Second punch out looking for Matthew Tiding. Third overall of the day. And it's 2 gone here in the top of the second.
You can't ask much more from Matthew Tiding. The control has been outstanding. And it's just probably the second time he's caught these keys players looking. So, again, dominant start here so far from Tiding.
And now Jake Plastiak steps in. First pitch taken on the outer half of the plate for strike 1 as Tiding appeared to drop a slider in there. This is going to be Tiding's biggest test on the afternoon, rather evening. Delivers the 0-1. It's chopped right side and foul as Plastiak was rather 0-1 that was off speed. Now the count setting in at 0-2.
Again, I think you gotta, after showing him the off speed, I'd say you probably go back to the fastball. It's been working wonders here so far for Tiding.
Tiding continuing to work from the windup. 0-2 pitch home, chopped right side of the infield, right at Pinales, tosses it over to first, and it spins 6 up, 6 down here for Matthew Tiding as we're through 1.5. Still no score here at the Mon between the Keys and the Black Bears.
Fans, if
5, 6, and 7 set to stand in for West Virginia. That means the first plate appearance as a Black Bear for Merrick Schloop. Getting set to face Gio Rivera for the first time. Schloop looking to double the Black Bears' hit tally on the night. First pitch he sees, a fastball misses up and away, and Schloop gets ahead, ball and no strikes.
Very successful hitter is Schloop from his time this spring.
That 1-0 pitch off speed misses down and away, and Schloop doubles his advantage in the count to 2 balls and no strikes. Mentioned that Schloop played at North Greenville, the Division II national champion this year. He sees this 2-0 pitch, and it's chopped to short. Cole up with it, throw over to first, and it beats Schloop by about a step for out number one.
Again, Schloop is no slow base runner out there. He was hustling down there, had a lot of stolen bases this year, so Cole had to get up from his knees and make that play quickly just in time to get him. Good play by the shortstop, Cole.
Now it'll bring up Garrick Anglin. Nobody on, one out here in the bottom of the second. Garrick Anglin out of Wright State. Waves and misses at a first pitch fastball there from Gio Rivera. Pumps that one in at 92.
Anglin's chance there for Anglin to get any sort of hit on that.
0-1 pitch to him, and he's swinging away late that time at a fastball. Quickly falls behind, no balls and 2 strikes.
That struggled a little bit, Anglin, in the field and getting on base so far this season, looking to turn that around here.
Rivera from the windup brings the 0-2 pitch home, and Anglin fouls it off and out of play over on the first base side of the ballpark. Garrick Anglin, named after the famous Yankee infielder Lou Gehrig, as this 0-2 pitch is spiked in the dirt, blocked by Castillo, and then quickly loses it as Anglin works himself back into the count.
Not the most ideal pitch there, but being up 0-2 from Rivera, you just want to see if you can get him chasing there. Good job by Anglin to remain disciplined, even though being down 1-2.
Middle infielders for the Frederick Keys, just on the outfield grass as Rivera brings the ball home. Castillo tries to frame it on the outer part of the plate, but Brian Fisher shaking his head saying, I don't think so, and the count evens 2-2.
Now you kind of find yourself in a more than ideal spot here for Anglin to kind of get a good pitch to make contact on here.
2-2 to Anglin. Misses down and away. The count runs full that time as Rivera thought for sure he had delivered a gem of a pitch, but again, Brian Fisher signaling just a bit too far outside. Payoff pitch from Rivera, and this one's called strike three, a fastball on the outer half of the plate. Garrick Anglin had tossed the bat towards the dugout and was headed for first and got rung up by Brian Fisher.
That one's a bit more questionable. One of the more questionable calls from Brian Fisher. I also thought he was just outside, but he rung him up either way. 2 outs so far.
Now Caden Trenkel will stand in out of Oklahoma State. First pitch up and away. Trenkel, 28th round selection in 2019 by the Chicago White Sox. Looking to hear his name called once again this summer. 1-0 pitch, and he fouls it off over the awning on the third base side of the ballpark, and we're back even, a ball and a strike.
Very sought out prospect from other Big 12 schools, TCU, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech being some of those wanting to bring him in.
Rivera gets the sign, delivers a slider on the outer half of the plate, but doesn't catch enough of the zone, and Trenkel reestablishes a lead in the count, 2 balls and a strike.
And though you find yourself 2-1 now, 2 outs already, you still want to make Rivera work out there after working a lot in the first inning.
2-1 from Rivera, waved at and missed as Rivera dropped in a changeup on the inner half of the plate, and the count levels again, this time 2-2.
Perfect pitch there to fool Trenkel. See if he goes back to that here again to retire the side.
Pitch home to Trenkel and waves at it and misses as we see David Castillo signaled that he did in fact hold on to it and not need to throw the ball down to first to retire the side. see it here on the replay. That does, in fact, happen. It's time for the pepperoni roll race, and we'll bring the results to you when we return as we're through two here at the Mon. No score between the Keys and the Black Bears.
Experiencing any symptoms or medical concerns? A WVU Medicine primary care provider is your first point of contact for improved well-being. WVU Medicine's primary care providers deliver top-quality care close to home for patients of all ages, from infants to seniors. They specialize in diagnosing, treating, and preventing a wide variety of conditions, and, if needed, can refer you to a WVU Medicine specialist for more advanced care. Visit wvumedicine.org/primary care.
Pepperoni and Cheese Patty, tonight's winner in the pepperoni roll race, tying the standings at three apiece between herself, Hot Pepper Hank, and Double Stuff Dave, as David Castillo leads off here for the Keys in the top of the third, tiding set to face 7, 8, and 9 in the Frederick order. Castillo out of Chippewa Community College, first pitch fouled directly to the backstop as a little bit of a line drive there just past the mask of Mauricio Milan.
Castillo went 2-for-4 in his last time, recorded an RBI and a double. So, again, bottom half of the order, but still dangerous nonetheless.
Tiding from the windup. 0-1 pitch misses outside. We're back even, a ball and a strike. Castillo stands in 6'3", 230 pounds from Doral, Florida. Chippewa College, one of the best JUCO programs in the country. 1-1 pitch to him, a fastball that misses inside, and Castillo now with the advantage in the count.
Just got away from him there, a little bit too far inside from Tiding. Just keeping him honest out there, still 2-1.
Pitch home from Tiding, goes back to the fastball, back trying to catch the inner half of the plate. And Castillo furthers his advantage in the count, 3-ball.
Completely lose him here, give him something that attempts him to swing here, probably a fastball, I would say. It's worked so far for Tiding.
3-1, waved at and missed that time by Castillo, as he does, in fact, go to the fastball, and it runs the count full.
It's the pitch where he's seen a lot of success so far, and the Keys haven't really caught up to it so far in this game.
Payoff pitch from Tiding, chopped to the left side of the infield. It's Antonacci up with it, firing across the diamond for out number one.
No real threat of making an error there from Antonacci. Good fielding there from him. Just fires it to Ryan Hernandez. Easy out again, and Tiding continues to roll so far.
Anthony Heron Jr. over at first base tonight for Frederick in the eighth spot of the order. Getting set to make his way to the plate out of the University of New Orleans. 0-for-5 in his last appearance for the Keys as he waves and misses at a fastball that time from Tiding.
Just his fourth game so far. Just arrived, obviously. Hasn't recorded a hit yet, but still in danger here of doing so.
0-1 pitch to him. Check swing, but it's fouled to the backstop. Certainly not the result there that Anthony Heron Jr. would have liked to see, and he's quickly behind, no balls and two strikes.
Again, good count you find yourself in for Tiding, and he's just rolling through these Keys players effortlessly, it seems, as manager Jed Jericho seems to come out of the dugout.
Just a quick check here to Mauricio Milan. Quickly dropped to his knees and took the mask off. Appears to be tending to his wrist. I believe it's his right wrist. We saw a quick shake of it. And now going to get the opportunity for Milan to throw with his battery mate here today in Matthew Tiding.
See if we could see where it caught him. It seemed like off the rebound off his right foot there as he had to shake up. But he was in a good amount of pain there, as anyone would be.
Milan set to stay in the game, though, for the time being. Anthony Heron Jr. back into the batter's box. The windup from Tiding comes home. Chopped left side of the infield. Fielded by Anglin. Throw over to first. Two away.
Very solid there from Anglin. We have seen him bobble those a few of those, but no issues there. Fires it across the diamond. The strong throw at that, too, as Heron was barreling down first base. Good play there.
We'll bring up Joe Chu now. Third baseman here for Frederick. A 143 hitter so far with the Keys out of MLB China Academy. Just 17 years old is Joe Chu. Swings and hits the first pitch to the right side. Pinales up with it. Over to first. Nine up, nine down here for Matthew Tiding as we're through two and a half here at the Mon. No score between the Keys and the Black Bears. Bottom of the third as 8-9-1 make their way to the plate here for West Virginia. Mauricio Milan, Xavier Pinales, and Sam Crail. As Milan will stay in the game after we mentioned taking that foul ball off of his throwing hand just last half inning. Milan hitting 194 so far this season out of El Paso Community College and committed to Wichita State for the fall semester.
Interesting to see how that hit to the wrist does affect him here.
First pitch he sees from Gio Rivera misses above the zone, and Milan gets ahead in the count. Ball and no strikes.
Give it one last shake there before the at-bat started.
1-0 pitch. Another fastball that time from Rivera, and again misses outside as Milan extends his advantage in the count. Mauricio Milan participating in the JUCO All-Star game this past spring. 2-0 fastball misses down and away, and the Black Bears backstop one pitch away from drawing a free pass.
Will not complain about not having to hit the ball after getting hit on the wrist.
3-0 from Rivera. Milan taken all the way, and the fastball is dropped over the heart of the plate as Rivera works himself back into the count.
Good frame drop there by Casillas. That one was going too low, but was able to bring it back.
3-1 to Milan. Swings out of his shoes and comes up empty as the pitch falls right into the glove of David Castillo, and the count goes full.
Very enticing. That pitch was high in the zone, almost chest level.
Payoff pitch to Milan. Swing, and it's a line drive at Dylan Hoy, but he's able to make the grab over there at second base. One gone here in the bottom of the third.
Again, he made good contact there. It was a good location in the strike zone for him, but it was unfortunate. It was just right to the second baseman in Hoy.
Now the nine hitter for the Black Bears in Xavier Pinales steps to the plate. First season was at Gonzaga before spending the last two at Wabash Valley College. First pitch swinging, and it's hit to the shortstop, Cole. He's up with it, throw over to first. And just like that, two gone here for West Virginia in the bottom half of the third.
So a little bit of a shift there between the gap of shortstop and his usual third base. Works out perfectly as gets him out on one pitch. Two quick outs here so far for the Keys.
The lineup will turn over here for the Black Bears and bring up Sam Crail once again. See the defensive shift here for the Keys, and first pitch swinging for Crail hits it right at Anthony Heron Jr., who fields it on a bounce and steps on the bag himself for the final out of the inning. So we're through three innings of play, just one hit recorded between the two sides. So we've reached one-third of the completed ball game. No score here at the Mon between the Keys and the Black Bears.
No reason to go anywhere else with WVU Medicine. For more information, visit wvumedicine.org/join.
Top of the fourth coming your way, as it'll be top of the order for the Frederick Keys. Three innings thus far for Matthew Tiding, and he's been quite tidy to say the least, as he's thrown 38 pitches over those three innings of work, set to begin inning number four.
For much more from Tiding. Only pitched four innings last time, so after this it'll be interesting to see how much longer he has, or how much left he has in the tank. Going into the fifth and sixth and so on.
Daniel Figueroa standing in for the second time. First pitch to him. Fastball that misses up and away.
And just adding on to that, it'll be interesting to see how his control wavers, if any, throughout these extra innings of work for him.
1-0 to Figueroa. Goes back to the fastball and drops it in on the outer half of the plate as the count evens the ball and a strike. Daniel Figueroa, computer engineering major out of Puerto Rico. As Tiding goes to change up, tries to hit the outer black, and just a bit too far outside for the liking of Brian Fisher. Tiding continuing to work from the windup, 2-1 pitch, and it's skied up in the air out to shallow center. Antonacci tries to make the over-the-shoulder grab. It's in and out of his glove, and it'll allow Daniel Figueroa to advance to second base as he was hustling around the base paths.
And as soon as we start praising Antonacci for his defensive play, obviously he is battling the sun out there, but it was in his glove and it seemed like he had already recorded the out, but it just popped out and Figueroa finds himself in scoring position.
Now it brings up Dylan Hoy. I would have to imagine, given the difficulty of that play, that it would go down as a base hit and then ultimately a double there for Daniel Figueroa. Tiding works from the stretch here for the first time. Fastball misses the zone on the outer half of the plate at 87 there to Hoy.
And it seems like it is going down as an error as it just pops up here on our scoreboard.
Tiding, getting the sign here. Pitch foul tip into the glove there of Milan. Evens the count, a ball and a strike.
Again, we mentioned it before. It's how these pitchers respond to allowing base runners and even hits It'll be very important for the duration of this game how they respond to their first real adversity of the season, really.
Quick look down to second as Tiding delivers. Grounds this one to short. Antonacci up with it. Throws over to first and redeems himself for out number one as Figueroa advances to third.
No doubt there. Very solid fielding there by Antonacci. Like you mentioned, Drew, redeeming himself. No doubt he was going to get the out there. But again, you still have that threat who is now at third base.
You mentioned that threat over there at third base. And Daniel Figueroa officially reaching on an error. As you had mentioned, get the official confirmation from our friends over at Prep Baseball Report. Main partner here in the MLB Draft League is Kendall Yule. Stands in with the runner in scoring position. First pitch to him, waves at it and misses. Tiding appearing to go change up there on pitch number one of the at-bat.
And you don't want to speak too soon, but it seems like Tiding has responded to the challenge up till now, and it'll be huge out here if he can get Yule out on a pop-out, ideally.
Tiding continuing to work from the stretch. 0-1 pitch, foul tip. Milan thought he squeezed it, but it carried through the backstop. Would have been strike two nonetheless, but would have just made Mauricio Milan look a little bit better. Not that he has looked bad by any means, as he's been a stalwart behind the plate for West Virginia.
This is where Yule really thrives as, again, he is known for these multi-hit games, multi-base hits.
0-2 pitch to Yule, and that one's lined into center field for a base hit, and that will allow Figueroa to trot home with ease. And just like that, Frederick with a 1-0.
And again, going into this inning, you would have assumed that Tiding was the one in control, but as we know in baseball, it all can just change in a matter of instances, and an error caused that, and now the Blackbirds find themselves down here in the fourth.
First hit conceded by Matthew Tiding in the MLB Draft League, courtesy of Kendall Yule, as Hunter Jump stands in. First pitch to Jump. It's a long foul ball down the third baseline and into the concourse. Hunter Jump looking to continue the momentum that Kendall Yule has established. Yule takes off for second. Pitch inside. Called a strike. Throw down to second as Antonacci applies the tag, but Yule in there safely with a stolen base.
Just smart base running there by Yule, completely eliminating the attempt of a double play now, obviously with one out. Now they can at most is get the one if do so at the plate.
Tiding with a quick look to Yule at second as he dances over there. Pitch home, comes to Milan, receives it, but it's down and away, and Hunter Jump gets back into the count, a ball and two strikes.
Again, you have to think Tiding will favor this fastball here in an attempt to get a ground out or even get him to fly out, possibly.
More looks down to Yule at second. 1-2 pitch comes home, and that one's lined into center field for a base hit. Yule going to be held at third, almost running through a stop sign as Tranquil got it in quickly. Yule for sure would have been gunned out at the plate, but instead it's runners at the corners with one out now for Harold Cole.
Solid contact there from Jump. And again, it was a good throw in by Caden Tranquil to kind of halt Yule's path all the way to home. But again, dangerous spot here for Tiding.
Harold Cole, the shortstop for the Keys, looking to tack on a second run. As Tiding nods in approval of the sign from Milan, brings the first pitch home, and Cole fouls it off out of play on the first base side of the ballpark.
Will we see Hunter Jump trying to steal a base to eliminate that double play?
I have to imagine that it's only a matter of time before Jump goes ahead and does that. And Tiding, just to make sure, is going to throw over first base. Hernandez applying the tag, but Jump able to get in safely.
Again, we mentioned before, Harold Cole's playing only his fifth game, if I'm not mistaken here, looking to be a hero early on.
0-1 pitch from Tiding, fouled back and out of play again into the sweet level here at Mon County Ballpark. And as for Harold Cole, behind, no balls and two strikes.
Kind gesture there by an older gentleman handing the ball off to one of the kids there, trying to get a souvenir from today's game.
Nothing beats coming to the ballpark and getting a souvenir. 0-2 pitch from Tiding, a fastball missing the outer half of the zone by just a matter of inches.
Surprised there, Harold Cole didn't go for that. From our vantage point, seemed like it would have been a strike, but a called ball nonetheless.
Tiding nodding in approval of his sign as jump takes off, chopped left side, but foul down the third base line. Keeps the count right where it is.
Would have for sure been there, Hunter Jump. It seemed, especially on the breaking ball, that he was going to get there regardless if Cole hit it or not.
Now it'll be interesting to see whether or not Jump takes off once again. Another 1-2 pitch. Waved at and missed for a fourth punch out there from Matthew Tiding. Important second out here in this top of the fourth for West Virginia.
Huge, huge punch out there from Tiding. Nicole, no chance of that. As soon as he saw the windup, you knew he was going to pump the gas. Big comeback from Tiding.
And now the comeback opportunity to grow even more after conceding the run as he faces Jake Plastiak. Before he does, Tiding will throw over to first base and keep tabs on Hunter Jump. Plastiak standing in here out of Tinley Park, Illinois. First pitch, and Plastiak blisters this one out to right field. Sam Crail going to watch it carry, and it is a three-run shot for Jake Plastiak to blow this one wide open. The Keys lead it 4-0, and you knew it was only a matter of time before Jake Plastiak had to say in how this series was going to go.
There was really no doubt after you saw the contact made on that. He got the sweetest of contacts right off the top of the bat, off the top of the barrel, and even Sam Crail knew it off of the contact made. He only took a couple trots to his right before he just saw it fly over the right field wall.
Now David Castillo will stand in. Castillo looking to continue a bit of a two-out rally here for Frederick. First pitch to him, fastball misses below the knees. Jake Plastiak, hit streak now 7 consecutive games. As the 1-0 pitch, another fastball misses inside. And Castillo gets ahead, 2 balls and no strikes.
And it does seem like there might be some action down there in the bullpen. Just a couple movements, but nothing too serious as of now.
Tiding working from the windup with the bases empty. 2-0 pitch, chopped foul down the third base line.
Obviously for Tiding, this is the least from ideal situation you want to find yourself in, but you still have 2 outs. You still want to end this inning strong and prevent Castillo from getting on.
2-1 pitch to Castillo, chopped foul again down the third base line, and a tremendous play with a bare hand by Frederick Keys hitting coach and third base coach Angel Sanchez.
From the Keys coach there.
Milan delivering the sign to Tiding. 2-2 pitch. Milan tries to frame it on the outer edge of the plate, but just a bit too far outside to Brian Fisher's liking, and it's a full count to the Keys backstop.
I think you probably have to go off speed here just to get him confused a bit at what pitch he's seeing and get out of this inning just 4-0 down.
3-2 pitch, chopped right side, fielded by Pinales. He'll lightly toss that one over to first for out number 3, but not before Frederick tacks on 4 runs on 3 hits. As we are through 3.5 here at Mon County Ballpark, it's Frederick 4, West Virginia 0. back for the bottom of the fourth, and it's a new pitcher on the mound here for Frederick in Zach Szabo, standing in 6'3", 215 pounds, out of Ontario, Canada, and a product of Sinclair High School. So another very young arm here for the MLB Draft League, and Szabo looks to pick up right where Gio Rivera left off.
Very surprised that the Keys made the move already. I thought Rivera was at least going to go for the way he's been pitching and keeping them only to one hit. But if you're the Black Bears, I guess this could be a wake-up call again to finally get those bats to come alive. And like we've seen before, Drew, it only really takes one inning for this Black Bears team to pile up some runs and move forward with the game in positive spirits.
Certainly does, as we've seen over the past two nights of action here at the Mon. One inning defining the overall result of the game, as Zach Szabo looks set to face here against Sam Antonacci, Ryan Hernandez, and Hunter May. Final line here on Gio Rivera, three innings pitched, no runs against, conceded just one hit, didn't walk anybody, and struck out four. So another solid line for Gio Rivera, making his first start in the MLB Draft League.
And again, if you're the Black Bears, again, like you mentioned, you have a young arm out there. You have a lot of experienced players on this Black Bears team. This could be a chance to really possibly take advantage of the young arm, the inexperienced arm of Szabo, and get back into this game.
Szabo from the windup. First pitch to Antonacci. Misses down and in. Fastball that time. Szabo working from the right side of the rubber. The 1-0 pitch, another fastball. Castillo holding that one there for quite some time, trying to influence Brian Fisher behind the plate, but Antonacci doubling his advantage in the count.
Antonacci, the one responsible for the only hit on the Black Bears side.
2-0 pitch to Antonacci, and it's a third consecutive fastball, this time able to catch the zone. Two balls and a strike to the Black Bears shortstop.
We're seeing this slight shift over to the right side of the infield from the Keys defense.
2-1 pitch from Szabo. Another fastball, this time at 91, well above the zone, as Castillo was quickly out of the crouch to keep that one from the backstop, and it's 3-1.
If Antonacci could work a walk here, it'll be an ideal start, especially with Ryan Hernandez waiting on deck.
And he does, in fact, draw the walk as the 3-1 fastball misses down and in. Antonacci aboard for the ever-dangerous Ryan Hernandez.
Now, obviously, this is a showcase league. You want to show what you can against everybody, but if this was a major league game, I wouldn't doubt if this was a intentional walk situation here. But either way, we will see Hernandez face Szabo.
We'll see how Szabo deals with the collegiate veteran in Ryan Hernandez. Gets the sign from Castillo. First pitch, comebacker to the mound, blocked by Szabo. He'll just throw over to first and take the one out as Antonacci advances to second.
I get a good play there from Szabo. I would say I'll give him credit for that, still managing to get the one out. But runner in scoring position for the as dangerous Hunter May.
Hunter May, another veteran in the Black Bears lineup in terms of collegiate experience. Zach Szabo, product of the Canadian national team, member of the Toronto Mets. So a lot of experience, diversity. First pitch to May, taken on the inner half of the zone for a strike as Szabo continues to like his fastball early in this outing.
Yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. The Frederick Keys are doing a lot better when they actually score first in the game, being 3-1 on the road when they do so.
Check swing there from May on 0-1. Another fastball, this time able to catch the inner half of the zone. As a matter of fact, it was a changeup there from Szabo, but it gets him even further ahead. No balls and two strikes. Szabo, a four-pitch mix. Quick look down to second base, then delivers as the pitch is fouled off the mask of Castillo. And we're going to see Brian Fisher give Szabo a new baseball to allow Castillo some time to shake that one off.
So we get a quick flash for one of our promo interns here on the sideline enjoying, it seemed, a Coke. And I couldn't see what he was eating, but again, regardless, enjoying his time here at the Mon.
Szabo looked down to second, brings the 1-2 pitch home. Rather, 0-2 chopped third base side. It's fielded by Chu, throws over to first for out number two. And with the ball being hit to third base, Antonacci had to hold.
Again, never in doubt. Good play there by Chu to calmly field that one. And again, toss it across the diamond to Heron Jr.
And now Merrick Schloop stand in, look to redeem himself from his last appearance and look for his first hit as a member of the Black Bears.
Instantly become a fan favorite if he can somehow drive Antonacci in here.
Antonacci takes off for third. Fastball taken for a ball, and Antonacci going to be into third without a throw.
Seemed to me like the delivery from Szabo was a bit delayed. I'm not sure if he missed that or something, but Antonacci was almost halfway through to third base before Szabo even got rid of the ball.
Certainly could have aided in the throw down to third. 1-0 pitch to Schloop, and this one's hit hard through the left side of the infield. It's an RBI single for Merrick Schloop as he gets his first Black Bears hit and cuts into the Keys' lead. Black Bears still trailing by three. It's 4-1.
Again, a guy that we keep uttering that was very successful this past spring at North Greenville, and again provides a spark of some sorts for the Black Bears to at least cut into this deficit.
Now it'll bring up Garrick Anglin, looking to keep the party going here for West Virginia. Another member of this Black Bears roster that participated in the 2022 NCAA tournament. First pitch to him, off speed, taken out on the outer half of the plate for a strike.
Again, Schloop is a threat on the base path. Wouldn't be surprised if he tries to take second.
Does in fact there. Pitch waved at and missed, rather not swung at, and the Keys thought it was out number three. Dylan Hoy grabbed the ball and headed to the dugout, but it goes down as a stolen base for Merrick Schloop.
I was fairly convinced that he was in their way before the tag. As we've seen in the replay, he was. Not really sure what the infield or how they saw it differently, but a good aggressive base running there by the Black Bears once again.
Dylan Hoy trying to sell it as much as he can to the umpires as Ryan Mann warms up in the Black Bears bullpen. We expect to see him in the fifth. 1-1 pitch to Anglin. Off speed taken on the outer half of the plate once again. Anglin behind a ball and two strikes.
Good response by Szabo, though. It seems like he got his fastball and the off-speed pitches especially under control here.
Slider really working well for Zach Szabo. Continues to work from the stretch. Brings the 1-2 pitch home. Fastball that misses down and in, getting that one up to 93 with Szabo. Count even, 2-2. Black Bears trailing 4-1 here in the bottom of the fourth. Schloop gets his lead off a second. Multiple looks from Szabo, then delivers. Pitch misses down and in. Runs the count full now to the Black Bears third baseman.
Again, good spot here for Anglin to just make the young arm out there work and have Caden Tranquil come to the plate with runners on first and second if he manages a walk or even a single and drives in another run.
Szabo getting the sign from David Castillo. Another look down to second, keeping tabs on Schloop. Payoff pitch home. Misses below the zone. It's runners at first and second with two outs now for Caden Tranquil.
And I mentioned runners on first and second. That was one of the least harmful things Szabo could have done, as he does preserve the run. Runners, two runners on base now, but at least he still have a chance to go into the next inning without harming too much of that scoreboard.
Certainly, Caden Trankel now representing the tying run here for West Virginia. Talked about the explosive innings they've had as it's a first pitch fastball up and in, and Caden Trankel didn't even seem fazed.
You know, it's funny when you see these kind of rallies by the Blackbirds going, it always seems that they just show great discipline, and a lot of times they drive in runs just from doing just so and walking in runs.
Zabo looking Chloop back to second. 1-0 pitch. Fastball misses below the knees. Two balls and no strikes to Trankel. So a little bit of activity down in the Frederick Keys bullpen as David Castillo makes his way out to the mound to talk things over with the young right-hander. It was Jean-Paul Ramos Pena out of Puerto Rico who was warming in the Ramos Pena along with Zach Sabo, even Joe Chu, born in the year 2004. And even as I sit here at just 20 years old, seeing 2004 on a roster as a date of birth certainly makes me feel old.
And as you mentioned, there's some action in the Keys bullpen there. It seems that it's Ryan Mann over there in the Blackbirds bullpen getting some tosses in, and we should be seeing him in the next inning.
Zabo getting the sign here from Castillo. Two balls and no strikes to Trankel. Pitch comes home, a fastball at the knees, taken for strike one.
Seemed like that talk out there on the mound worked. There is a good control of that fastball there to finally get a strike on the scoreboard there.
Have to imagine that was more of just a talk to calm down the young right-hander. 2-1 pitch, and Trankel blisters this one out to right field. Yule over his head. It'll hit the wall. Two runs scoring at least as Chloop is in easily. Englund coming home. Throw to the plate. Not in time. It is a two RBI double for Caden Trankel, and the Black Bears cut their deficit to just one. It's 4-3, Frederick.
Huge hit by Trankel. Again, similarly to the one Plastia got a contact of, not enough power, obviously, to get a home run, but similar location. It went all the way to the wall, and it seemed like Hoy had no idea that Chloop was also barreling towards home, and late throw in easily scores two runs.
And now we see a mound visit, an official mound visit with David Castillo along with pitching coach Dennis Rasmussen. Just going out there again to talk things over with the young right-hander, try and calm down some potential nerves that he's experiencing here in this first inning of relief for him. As Rasmussen makes his way back to the dugout, coming to the plate, a chance to tack an RBI onto his name with a tying run standing at second base.
And as you look again at that replay here, Ewell just kind of froze in his tracks as that ball just kept carrying out there. Not a lot of height on it, but just a straight line drive, and one bounce off the track onto the wall. So again, great piece of hitting by Trankel to bring the Black Bears within one.
Mauricio Milan looking to keep the rally going. First pitch swinging, and that's a line drive into right field, but Kendall Yule able to get a beat on it and record out number three, but not before the Black Bears storm back with three runs of their own as Ryan Mann makes his way in from the bullpen for the top of the fifth. We're through four here at Mon County Ballpark. Frederick 4, West Virginia 3.
The WVU Epilepsy Center. In our state-of-the-art facilities, we help adults and children manage epilepsy and seizures and offer the very latest surgical treatment. WVU Epilepsy Center is a level 4 treatment center, helping people around the region and across the country take back control of their lives. Call 855-WVU-CARE. Visit wvumedicine.org/RNI/Epilepsy Center.
Top of the fifth here at the Mon. Ryan Mann taking the hill for West Virginia. And when Bill Nevin introduced his name here tonight, certainly got a loud cheer from the crowd as they've heard a lot of hype around the name Ryan Mann. Standing in, 6'5", 180 pounds out of Gwinnett College in Georgia and a product of Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Again, this is a right, like you mentioned, right-handing pitcher, a 6'5", good size to him. And again, as we know, he can certainly throw the fastball in there. And I'm looking forward to seeing how he faces this very dangerous Frederick Keyes lineup and clashing of styles with the powerful fastball that he throws. And against, like we've already seen, these heavy hitters of the Keys, it'll be an exciting matchup to see going forward.
Ryan Mann will be facing Anthony Heron Jr., Joe Chu, and Daniel Figueroa, 8-9-1 for Frederick in this fifth inning of work. Working from the windup, brings the first pitch home. Fastball at 91, misses above the zone.
Trying to establish that fastball early, and I would assume often.
Quick work here as he goes in the other fastball again. Able to catch the outer corner of the zone as Heron Jr. comes up empty.
And again, Heron Jr., like we mentioned before, has not recorded a hit so far.
1-1 fastball there from Mann. Misses outside as Heron Jr. gets ahead in the count once again. Ryan Mann helping Gwinnett College to win their first ever NAIA National Championship, as it's been all fastballs thus far for Ryan Mann, and gets another wave and miss there from Anthony Heron Jr.
Had a solid outing last time back on June 19th. He only pitched one inning, but he only gave up one hit, one walk, and one strikeout in that.
2-2 pitch. Mauricio Milan thought it was strike three, but apparently missed the zone below the knees.
If we could have seen a replay of that, I would have agreed with Milan there. It seemed like that just caught the outside part of the corner.
Payoff pitch from Mann. And again, Milan thought it was strike three, but instead it goes down as a walk for Anthony Heron Jr. to lead off the fifth inning.
We've seen the fastball early and often, like I said before. Questionable calls there by Brian Fisher, but he obviously has the best view of the calls, being right there behind it, and Heron earns himself a walk.
Joe Chu standing in. First pitch from Mann. Another fastball there at 90. One missing down and away. Joe Chu out of Beijing, China. Heron Jr. gets his lead off of first, now takes off for second. Pitch fouled off there by Chu, hitting the netting directly above the Black Bears dugout.
Still getting the slide in there was Anthony Heron Jr. Wasn't aware that it was fouled off, but nonetheless, Ryan Mann seems to, if I'm not mistaken, just throwing all fastballs, making sure the scouts get what they came to see.
Absolutely. Fastball velocity certainly top tier from Ryan Mann as he delivers another one. It's fouled to the netting of the backstop. Joe Chu behind, a ball and two strikes.
Again, it all just works into setting up these batters, getting an idea that they kind of got that fastball speed down, and then just throwing an off-speed one or a breaking ball pitch in there would be ideal here for Mann to get the first out.
Mann working from the stretch. Comes set at the belt. 1-2 fastball missing down below the knees. Evens the count at 2-2.
We saw the threat that Heron Jr. is out there. Already tried to steal it here to try and avoid that double play.
Chu committed to Arizona Western College for the fall. Rips this one. Diving stop by Anglin. Flip to second for one. Relay throw over to first. Not in time. Goes down to the fielder's choice there for Joe Chu. But Garrick Anglin with a defensive gem there to rob the young right-handed hitter of a base hit.
Great contact off of that hit by Joe Chu there. But again, like you mentioned, Garrick Anglin stealing a base hit, a certain base hit from Joe Chu, gets on base regardless, but gets the more important out at second.
Lineup turns over. Daniel Figueroa standing in now for Frederick. First time Figueroa has faced a member of the Black Bears' pen in this series. First pitch taken over the heart of the plate for strike one. Another fastball there from Ryan Mann, this time at 91.
Was able to score last time up. He did reach on that error by Antonacci, but he'll take anything to get on base once again.
0-1 pitch waved at and missed, and this time Ryan Mann drops in an off-speed pitch. Certainly something that nobody in this ballpark was expecting there from Ryan Mann.
I'd like to see more of that from Ryan Mann, as he has already shown how fast his fastball is. Throw him in a couple more of that, it would be a lot tougher for these Keys players.
Nods in approval of the sign, brings the 0-2 pitch home, and it's fouled directly into the foot of Figueroa. You could tell immediately he was in some discomfort.
Again, we like to get a replay of that to see where it caught him. You would guess the ankle there as he's trying to walk on that ankle gingerly.
Brian Fisher continuing to allot Daniel Figueroa some time to work through it. Figueroa will continue for first. 0-2 pitch from Mann. It's a comebacker into center field for a base hit. Or put two on with one out now for the Frederick Keys as Dylan Hoy comes to the plate.
We saw that off-speed pitch that I was asking for up here, but it was just in the not the most ideal of locations as he left it knee-high, and Figueroa does what he has done a lot this season, and he singled, getting himself another hit in this season.
Dylan Hoy, third at-bat here for Frederick, 0-2 thus far. Standing in to face Ryan Mann. First pitch to Hoy, chopped to the right side. Hernandez flips it to second for one. Relay throw won't be attempted. So big second out there for the Black Bears as Figueroa's retired. Runners at the corners with two gone now for Kendall Yule.
Seemed a bit nonchalant with the throw there, Ryan Hernandez to Antonacci. It could have been because Figueroa was in the base path trying to get a better angle of it, but still only managed to get the one out here.
Certainly thought much of the same, as the throw almost had to pull Antonacci off the bag, but he was able to just get a toe down onto the bag to record the second out. Runner takes off for second. Defensive indifference from Mauricio Milan as the pitch misses down and in. Was Dylan Hoy, who got a great jump off of first base.
That might have been the easiest stolen base I've ever seen in my life there.
1-0 count to Yule. Ryan Mann looks to pitch him very carefully. And now Mann going to step off the rubber, allow himself to go through the signs one more time with Mauricio Milan.
You don't want to make the moment bigger than it really is. You got yourself already two outs, only through one ball. This is a crucial out here for Mann to get here to keep it within one.
Misses down and away. And Yule extends his advantage in the count to two balls and no strikes.
Will also serve as a confidence boost here, excuse me, for Ryan Mann to retire, one of the more dangerous hitters on this Frederick Keys team.
Mann continuing to work here from the stretch. 2-0 pitch home. Curveball in the dirt. Yule quickly ahead. Three balls and no strikes.
Again, you could strategically think that it's an attempt to walk Yule because obviously he already got an RBI single the last time, but Hunter Jump did the same as he waits on the on-deck circle.
A classic unintentional, intentional walk as Mann continues to labor here in the fifth. 3-0 pitch home, waved at and missed as Kendall Yule had the take sign from his dugout Ryan Mann going off speed once again.
Very regrettable expression there from Yulo, as it looked like it was for sure going to be a ball. He thought differently, took a hack at it. Still 3-1 in his favor, though.
Standing down there laughing with Mauricio Milan anticipating a fastball, and if Mann had delivered him a fastball, it may have been in his own bullpen. 3-1 pitch to Yule, misses down and away for ball four, so it loads the bases, much to Ryan Mann's frustration, immediately pats his chest to signal that was his bad there on the pitch. Loads the bases now for Hunter Jump.
And Jump was the other runner that did score on that home run, obviously, by Plastiak. And obviously you don't want it to get it to that or get to Plastiak. This is undoubtedly the most crucial out of the whole game for the
first pitch to Jump. Off speed taken on the outer half of the plate as Ryan Mann drops a curveball in for strike one. As these strikes continue to accumulate here for Ryan Mann, the more significant they become. Chu at third, Hoy at second, Yule at first. 4-3 score here as this 0-1 pitch grounded down the first baseline and fair. Hernandez couldn't get the glove to it. Two runs will score easily as it's Chu and Hoy. And it'll go down as an RBI double there for Hunter Jump. And Frederick tacks on two more. They extend their advantage to 6-3.
And again, it seemed not easy by any means, obviously, but it could have been a play that Ryan Hernandez would, you would expect him to make. Just goes under the glove and just hits off the wall over there for Sam Crerar to field it. And now, again, the lead builds up to 6-3 now.
Harold Cole standing in 0-2 with two punch outs thus far. First pitch to him. Fastball there as Mann really pumped it in, but it misses down and away.
Surprised Milan didn't shake off his left wrist after that one was pumped in there by Mann with obviously some frustration behind it.
Milan keeping tabs on Yule down at third, the 1-0 pitch, and this one's hit high in the air out to right field. Crail a few steps back, settling in underneath of it to record the final out, but not before Frederick tacks on two more runs with two more hits to their name as we've officially reached the halfway point in this contest. It's Frederick 6, West Virginia 3 in game one of a three-game set. Zach Szabo toeing the rubber here for inning number two of work out of the Frederick bullpen, and he'll do so facing Xavier Pinale, Sam Crail, and Sam Antonacci. 9-1-2 here for West Virginia, trailing by three. First pitch from Szabo waved at and missed as Pinales about swung out of his shoes. Xavier Pinales fouling the 0-1 pitch off to the netting of the backstop. Quickly behind, no balls and two strikes as Szabo got the fastball in there at 92.
And you were able to respond last time to the Keys' onslaught of runs. Looking to do the same here would be huge for the Black Bears' confidence.
0-2 pitch there from Szabo. Another fastball misses outside. Ball and two strikes. Xavier Pinales out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And in honor of the NBA draft starting tonight, Milwaukee, the home of Hall of Famer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, as Pinales with a check swing there fouls it off into the netting above the Frederick Keys dugout.
If you're Pinales, you're really sort of a table setter now as you are the leadoff here, but again, to the dangerous Sam Kerr and Antonacci behind him, this would be huge for him.
1-2 pitch, and Pinales rung up looking as he threw his head back in disgust right away. And it's one gone here for the Black Bears in the bottom of the fifth.
I would probably disagree with that decision not to swing at that. As soon as I saw that off-speed pitch, I thought he was going to have a crack at it. He doesn't even move, and like you said, goes down on strikes. Big out there for Szabo.
And now the lineup will turn over. Sam Crail, 0-2 thus far for West Virginia. Swinging a foul back there, hitting directly above the visiting broadcast booth here at Mon County Ballpark. And we have a guest over there tonight in Gareth Kwok of the Frederick Keys. And Sam Crail apparently just wanted to make sure that Gareth is still awake. O-1 pitch from Szabo, taken atop the zone as Szabo went off speed with a slider, and Crail behind, no balls and two strikes.
Has really settled in well here, Szabo, after getting that mound visit and possibly being rattled a little bit. He's responded well here in his second inning of work.
Szabo working from the windup on 0-2, waved at and missed by Crail as Szabo blew the fastball by him at 93. Two gone here in the bottom of the fifth, and Sam Antonacci will stand in.
We thought Xavier Pinales swung out of his shoes. Sam Crail following that up with doing one better. Completely fooled on that off-speed pitch. And again, like I just mentioned, Szabo dealing right now through this Black Bears lineup.
Antonacci looking to get something going here for West Virginia. Takes a first pitch changeup on the outer half of the plate for strike one. See some activity in the West Virginia bullpen. It's Tommy Green. Imagine he takes the sixth inning as the 0-1 pitch is a fastball well outside. And David Castillo shows off a little bit of trickery behind the plate, pinning that one to his back.
Sam Antonacci worked a walk his last time, was a run, and showed aggressive base running as well.
Now he takes a 1-1 pitch. Another fastball there from Szabo on the outer half of the plate for strike two. Black Bears in jeopardy of going down in order here in the fifth. 1-2 from Szabo, fouled off and spoiled by Antonacci, lining that one into the third base concourse. A couple of young Black Bears fans from our Field of Dreams team here tonight scrambling for that one. Ball and two strikes to Sam Antonacci. Pitch comes home from Szabo, waved at and missed at a pitch well above the zone, and Antonacci knew it right away, but he couldn't hold up in time as Zach Szabo settles in comfortably there in the bottom of the fifth, retiring all three Black Bears with punch-outs as we're through five. It's Frederick 6, West Virginia 3.
Thank you.
back here for the, and as I mentioned in the last half inning, it'll be Tommy Green towing the rubber for the homestanding Black Bears. Green, 6'3", 210 pounds out of University of Illinois, a product of the Big Ten. Certainly a guy familiar with facing elite hitting, and he'll do so with facing Jake Plastiak to lead off this sixth inning, followed by David Castillo and Anthony Heron Jr.
And really what you need here for the Black Bears in this past spring, the opponent batting average against him was only 192. So a lot of ease comes with it, a lot of calming of the nerves comes with the right-hander out of Virginia Beach. Look for him to kind of, again, settle the nerves here and really limit the hits that the Keys have gone so far, having two more than the Black Bears so far in this game.
Limiting hits will be easier said than done, and maybe certainly much more manageable once the at-bat with Jake Plastiak is done and dusted. Of course, Plastiak 1-for-2 today, and in terms of the score right now, has been a difference maker, hitting a 3-run home run in the fourth inning, which the Keys tallied 4 on the scoreboard as Green blows the fastball by him at 93 for strike one.
No fear there from Green pumping that fastball by him. Seemed like Jake Plastiak wanted all of that, ended up getting none of it.
Green working exclusively from the stretch. Delivers the 0-1, and it's fouled off by Plastiak, ripping it towards his dugout and almost taking out a few teammates, as we saw the look on his face when he realized what was happening. But he's quickly behind, no balls and two strikes.
That wall in front of the dugout proves once again a lifesaver, as that ball was scorched over there towards his teammates.
No balls and two strikes here to Plastiak as Green gets the sign from Mauricio. Pitch home, waved at and missed as Plastiak retired on 3 pitches. First punch out for Tommy Green here this evening. One gone, and Tommy Green fighting power with power.
And he'll want that one back for sure, Jake Plastiak. That was an ugly swing there, especially on that last one. Had his chance at the fastball. The first pitch was way too slow to get anything on that. Good start by Tommy Green, though.
Now David Castillo will stand in. He's 0-for-2 thus far with a pair of groundouts, ironically to both middle infielders, as he blisters his first pitch down the left field line and into foul territory for a long strike one, as Castillo was well out in front of it. Tommy Green taking his time to get back on the rubber here and go through the sign with Mauricio Milan, which he does as I speak. 0-1 pitch, and Castillo flares this one out to right field. Crail will make the grab 2 steps in front of the warning track for out number 2.
Again, good had some good distance on that and managed to get some good power on it as well, hitting it opposite field. But again, Crail not really bothered by it, only had to move a few steps to his right and record a quick second out here for Tommy Green.
Anthony Heron Jr. standing in, walked last inning, 0-for-1 on the day. Second stint here in the draft league, second year with the Keys. First pitch he sees from Green, fouled directly down into home plate for strike one.
Just caught a bit of his backside there on his right arm after he had that follow through swing. Not bothered by it though.
Anthony Heron Jr. showing off his strength at the plate, recognizing that that pitch didn't faze him whatsoever. 0-1 pitch, off speed there from Green. Little half swing there from Heron Jr. that goes around and quickly behind, no balls and two strikes.
Again, this is a Tommy Green. He hasn't recorded a hit so far in this season.
0-2 pitch, another off speed at 81, missing down and away. Possibly a little bit of a Bronx cheer there for Anthony Heron Jr. for not swinging. Green shakes off a sign from Mauricio Milan and then gets one that he likes. Winds up, brings the 1-2 pitch home, another off speed. Misses outside. Back even 2-2.
And stressing that point out again, I think the off speed pitches are a good tactic against certain hitters on this Keys team, but I would really just pump the fastball by here if I were Green.
2-2 from Green. Fastball, and he's rung up. Anthony Herron Jr. set down on strikes. It's a 2-strikeout inning there for Tommy Green as we're through 5.5 here at Mon County Ballpark, and it's Frederick 6, West Virginia 3. Back here for the bottom of the sixth, Jean-Paul Ramos Pena taking the rubber here for Frederick out of Carolina, Puerto Rico. Standing in a hard-throwing right-hander as we've seen here in warm-ups. And he'll have a tough task at hand coming in to face the heart of the West Virginia Black Bears batting order here as we get set to make our way from the middle third to the back third of the opener here in this three-game series.
And manager Joe Oliver not afraid to go to the young arms. Again, another youngster, like you mentioned there, Drew, born in 2004. Again, not the most experienced, obvious, compared to the other pitchers that we have, the Keys have on their bullpen. But, again, he has confidence in the youngster to come get something done with a little bit of a cushion, still leading 6-3 here in the sixth.
Ryan Hernandez stepping up to the plate now. Hernandez 0-2. Fielder's choice in a ground out back to the pitcher. So Hernandez looking to get something going here offensively. Kickstart another potential strong sequence here for the Black Bears. He'll do so against Jean-Paul Ramos Pena. Power against power, just like we saw with Tommy Green and Jake Plastiak. First pitch from Ramos Pena. Fastball misses up and in at 89, and 89 certainly looked to be a lot faster than that.
Absolutely. Look for that only build as this inning goes along.
1-0 pitch to Hernandez. Another fastball that misses inside. Hernandez having to back out of the way, but slightly to avoid taking that one to the stomach and extends his advantage in the count. 2-0 from Ramos Pena. Fastball at 88, misses well above the zone, and Hernandez one pitch away from drawing the free pass.
Don't want to give him something to hit here, something that he likes, so wouldn't be surprised if this is another ball here to the heavy-hitting first baseman.
3-0 pitch, and Hernandez swinging away, and he pops that one up and out of play over the first base side of the ballpark. That one gets out of here in a hurry. 3 balls and a strike.
looking to avoid the walk there. It seemed like it was going to be high, or too high to be called a strike, but Hernandez swung anyway, wanting to avoid the walk, looking for some bit of action here.
Ramos Pena continuing to work from the windup, brings the pitch home. Fastball taken on the inner half of the plate. Ryan Hernandez thought it was ball four, took a few steps towards first base, and then had to come back as Brian Fisher signaled it was strike two.
Had some words there with Brian Fisher to make sure he was sure of that call.
Payoff pitch to Hernandez, and he rips that one into left field. That one's going to carry all the way to the wall. Hernandez around first. He's chugging for second. Ryan Hernandez going to be into second base with a stand-up double, trying to catch his batting helmet behind his back as he was running in the process. Lead-off double for the Black Bears.
Other than, obviously, the great inning-starting double there, not something you see every time, trying to catch the helmet while you're running. Very uncanny style there from Hernandez, but was eager to keep that helmet on his head, and he still remains with the helmet on his head. So big double here to start the inning for the Black Bears.
And now for two so far on the day as the Black Bears DH looking to bring home Ryan Hernandez. First pitch from Ramos Pena. Fastball at 88 that misses below the knees.
An uncharacteristic quiet game from Hunter May so far. Strikeout and a ground out. Looking to change that here. And the Black Bears do need it there, especially batting in the four hole.
Ramos Pena working from the stretch delivers. And Hunter May fouls that one off of his back foot. And that one's certainly going to be felt for quite some time.
Definitely giving signs of that was Hunter May, as we saw him wince there in pain there as it seemed to catch almost his knee, but definitely the lower part of the leg there.
Ramos Pena continuing to work here from the stretch. A ball and a strike to May. Fastball taken outer half of the zone, rather a changeup, as Ramos Pena got it to drop in at 83. It's a ball and two strikes to Hunter May.
Hearing some groans from the home crowd here. Only expect those to grow if this game continues to be 6-3.
And Hunter May fouls off this 1-2 pitch, and that one lands in the sweet level before ricocheting down to the section directly below us.
Nice over-the-shoulder snag there from a fan in the front row.
Still a 1-2 count here to Hunter May. Pitch, fastball runs inside. May has to jump out of the way of it. We're back even 2-2.
Even a walk here would be huge, as we already saw Merrick Schloop drive in a couple, or get a single to get at least on base.
Two-two pitch to May, and it's skied up out into shallow left field. Chu trying to get a beat on it, loses sight of it, and Cole backs him up and able.
Very confusing a little bit out there from Chu and Cole. It seemed like Chu was tracking it all the way, but inevitably lost it, and Cole makes the surefire out there for the first out of this inning.
And now Merrick Schloop will stand in, 1-for-2 day, and an RBI for the product of Czech Republic, looking to be the first baseball player from the Czech Republic drafted into Major League Baseball. First pitch to him, and he lines this one into left center field for a base hit. Jimmy Galuski going to wave home. Hernandez throw to the plate. It's going to be not in time, and it's an RBI single again for Merrick Schloop, and the Black Bears get one back. They trail by two.
Very surprised. Manager Jimmy Galuski waved them home, but he was confident in his big first baseman who just managed to get there before the ball was thrown into Castillo. Yet another time, Schloop comes through so far in his early Black Bears career.
Garrick Englund standing in now, looking to keep the bats going here for West Virginia. And you mentioned the decision to send Ryan Hernandez. We've seen a lot of aggressive base running here from the Black Bears, and Jimmy Galuski, certainly a pleasant sight to see, as the first pitch to Englund is a fastball that misses outside.
Just to build on that, you mentioned Schloop is got that RBI single yet again. Look for him to steal again. We saw him steal before. Wouldn't be surprised if he does it yet here again.
1-0 pitch, runs in and hits Garrick Anglin right on the left leg. You can hear the audible groan there from the Black Bears crowd, sensing the pain that Anglin was going to be in. Two on, one out here for Caden Trankel.
Luckily caught him a little bit on the thigh there, not directly on the knee, where we've obviously heard a lot more, but he'll take it as he takes a free pass to first. Dangerous spot here for the Keys.
David Castillo with John Paul Ramos Pena. Caden Trankel standing in, representing the tying run once again, a similar spot he was in back in the fourth inning when he came up and ripped a double over the head of Kendall Yule. Caden Trankel certainly would like the opportunity to do something similar here. Continue to cut down this deficit. First pitch from Ramos Pena, a fastball at 87, the miss is outside.
With all the aggressive base running, you have to think, could we see a double steal here from the Black Bears to put a lot more pressure on the Keys?
All depends upon how confident Jimmy Galuski is in Merrick Chloop, as Caden Trankel fouls this one off into the left field concourse, and it'll carry into the berm, evens the count, a ball and a strike. Certainly like the idea of a double steal to potentially take the double play out of order, force Castillo to make a throw, and if the ball gets away, then you could have the runners advance even further, but certainly a decision that would need to be made wisely. 1-1 from Ramos Pena. Fastball that Castillo tries to frame on the outer half of the plate. Misses outside, two balls and a strike.
Seems like Ramos Pena here, you don't want to completely lose control here, because if you do walk him, you do bring up Xavier Pinales, and with only one out, it only just increases the pressure on the young right-handed pitcher.
2-1 from Ramos Pena. Dribbler back up the middle for a base hit. Jimmy Galuski going to wave home Chloop. Throw comes towards the plate, and it's going to pull Castillo up the line. It's an RBI single for Caden Trankel, and the Black Bears cut the deficit down to one.
Much needed. Great contact on there by Caden Trankel. Got the pitch he liked, and he drives in yet another run. And again, the Black Bears find themselves just within one run, and even better spot now with only one out and runners on first and second.
And now Dennis Rasmussen going to make his over with his young right-hander, and John Paul Ramos Pena buying some time for his lefty warming up in the bullpen. It's Hayden Harris, as Harris continues to loosen for Frederick. Tying run standing at second base now in Garrick Anglin. Caden Trankel representing the go-ahead run over there at first base, as Mauricio Milan will stand in after getting some brief instructions from Jimmy Galuski over in the third base coaching box.
And this approach certainly worked last time, and it did get Zach Sable to retire the side after a little visit onto the mound. See if it pays dividends here yet again, but good opportunity here for Mauricio Milan to possibly even take the lead here if it all works out in his favor.
Quick look down to second. First pitch to Milan, swinging away, and he rips it into the netting directly above the Keys dugout. No balls and a strike to the Black Bears catcher.
You'd have to think all these pitches are going to be a lot lower in the zone with the threat of the double play there for the Keys.
Jean-Paul Ramos Pena delivers the 0-1. Was off speed. Milan gets underneath of it and fouls it directly into the sweet 2-R right, and Milan quickly behind, no balls and two strikes.
You don't want to be too eager here for Milan. Yes, you find yourself in a more than ideal situation, but you still want to make the youngster work out there and get him in more trouble than he is right now.
0-2 pitch misses down and in there. A fastball from Ramos Pena. Milan staying alive for the time being. Xavier Pinales on deck for West Virginia, just one of two switch hitters the Black Bears have. Alongside him, it's Ben Greer. 1-2 pitch. Milan waves at it and misses as he was anticipating a fastball and got a changeup. Two gone here for West Virginia.
Much like Jim Milan will want that one back. He just miscalculated what pitch was going to be in there, and he no chance of hitting that one. Two outs here for the Frederick Keys, who, again, have an opportunity to dodge a bullet here as they did back in the fourth.
Pinales 0-for-2 so far today. Takes the first pitch, fastball outside for ball one. Garrick Englund standing down at second, representing the tying run. Caden Trenkel over at first, the go-ahead run. Young right-hander and Jean-Paul Ramos Pena hanging on for dear life here in this bottom of the sixth as Pinales waves and misses at a off-speed there from Ramos Pena. Looked like a slider, evens the count, a ball and a strike.
I've had a half-hearted attempt from Xavier Pinales. It seemed like he was never really going to reach it, but he was already going and had to ultimately swing through to see if he got anything on it.
Quick look down to second. 1-1 pitch delivered, chopped foul down the first baseline and through the legs of first base coach Levi Maxwell. And knowing the Black Bears coaching staff, they're certainly not going to let him live that one down.
Definitely not the kind of fielding ability we saw out of the Frederick Keys coaching staff there, but it's all right. He'll definitely have another opportunity to redeem himself.
Give him the benefit of the doubt. Levi Maxwell was a pitcher back in his day. Probably would have just let that one go for his middle infield duo. 1-2 pitch to Pinales. Fastball misses down and away. Back even 2-2. Jean-Paul Ramos Pena continuing to fight here and labor in the bottom of the sixth. Comes set from the stretch. Delivers the 2-2. Pinales pops it up and out of play over the awning on the third base side of the ballpark. Count will stay right where it is.
Just seems like Pinales is a lot more confident hitting out of the right hand. Just doesn't seem to get enough or solid contact when he's batting out of the lefty box.
Another 2-2 from Ramos Pena. Line drive, base hit in the right center field. That one's going to carry past the outfielders. One run's going to score. Caden Trenkel being waved home. Pinales chugging for third. He's going to be in there safely. It is a two-run RBI two-out triple for Xavier Pinales, and the Black Bears take the lead. It's 7-6.
I will certainly take a lot of credit for that hit, as it just happened as soon as I doubted Pinales' ability to hit out of the left-handed box. Nonetheless, a huge hit here. You get a huge production out of the bottom of the lineup, and it seems like the night will be over for Ramos Pena to his evident displeasure on the mound.
Manager Joe Oliver makes his way out of the dugout, and you had a feeling that with the lefty warming up down there in the bullpen, that if Ramos Pena didn't get out of the inning, it was going to be the lefty in Hayden Harris coming in to face the lefty Sam Crail, and that's exactly what Joe Oliver has designed here for the Frederick Keys, as the day, in terms of the book, is not completely done yet for Jean-Paul Ramos Pena, as he's still responsible for Xavier Pinales standing down there at third base. So if Pinales comes around to score, it will go in the books on the line of Jean-Paul Ramos Pena. The young right-hander high school product certainly frustrated with how his latest outing went. And now we see Hayden Harris talking things over with David Castillo before he takes some warm-up pitches and make sure he's on the same page with his new battery mate.
And did we not mention it throughout this duration of the game? The Black Bears just love piling on in one inning so far, leading back from the weekend or just from the start of this week till now. Now it's been a little bit later, obviously, than it has in the past two games. It's been, we have to wait all, again, the bats just came alive, and now from the bottom half of the inning, just showing again how well-rounded this lineup is to get the production seemingly from the entirety of the lineup. On some nights, you get it from the top half, the first four, and now you're getting from the back end of it.
Absolutely, and the Black Bears offense continues to fight and never give up, clawing their way back, multiple three-run deficits, and it was only a matter of time before West Virginia did enough to climb out of the hole they dug themselves in early in the game and take the lead. As Hayden Harris continues to warm up out there on the mound, and just as I say that, warm-up period for Harris has concluded, and Sam Crail will stand in, looking to keep the two-out rally going here for West Virginia.
Now Hayden Harris will face the presumably more dangerous part of the lineup, but has been kept at bay other than Sam Antonacci, of course, but and Ryan Hernandez getting this, really, this whole rally started, so he could, in some instance, be faced with another appearance here in the sixth if it all goes the Black Bears' way.
Lefty-lefty matchup. First pitch to Crail. Waved at and missed at a fastball up and in. Crail about swung out of his shoes, looking for his first hit of the ball game. Standing in 0 for 3. 0-1 pitch from Harris. Another fastball, this time at 93. Misses down and away.
Again, Sam Crow has not had the best of nights, obviously, here, but had four RBIs in his last game. He has another chance to do that here and come through for the Black Bears.
1-1 pitch, another fastball this time. Crail gets ahead in the count, two balls and a strike.
And if you manage to get Sam Antonacci again, another plate appearance here, it would only just increase these Black Bears' chance of really piling on to already four to a four-run sixth inning.
2-1 pitch, foul tip into the glove of Castillo. We're back even 2-2. Crail clearly trying to be extra aggressive and do what he can to drive home Pinales. Harris comes set from the stretch, 2-2 pitch. Another fastball misses down and away. The count runs full on Sam Crail.
Pinales seemed to anticipate the possible pass ball there. It did bounce into the glove of Castillo, but he was had to retreat back to third base after taking a few extra steps towards home plate.
Harris getting the sign from Castillo. The payoff pitch to Crail runs in on his hands, and he fouls it off into the concourse down past the third base bag. And a scurry for it from young Black Bears fans. Sam Crail will live to fight another day.
Seems like it was going to be a ball the way, but Sam Crail had already started that swing, and good on him to at least get some contact on and get another pitch here.
Another 3-2 to Crail, and he spoils it again, popping this one up down and towards the same area in which he hit the last one. Crail continues to fight, and neither guy willing to give in here between Harris and Crail.
That seemed like the pitch that he could have done something with. He got the good end of the bat, but just a little late on it.
Another 3-2 pitch. Misses down and away. Harris thought it was strike three, but it puts runners at the corners with two outs instead for Sam Antonacci, representing the ninth Black Bear to come to the plate this inning.
That confident walk towards first has not paid dividends from this game, I should say. Every time they've done that, it seemed to be go the opposite way, be a strikeout, but that time it works out for them. Sam Crail fights a good battle there with Hayden Harris and finds himself at first now with Sam Antonacci up now.
Antonacci, another lefty at the plate here for West Virginia as Chase Smith loosens in the Black Bears bullpen. First pitch to Antonacci is a fastball that misses below the knees. Castillo quickly tried to frame it, but it's not enough in the eyes of Brian Fisher behind the plate.
Credit to Brian Fisher for being so determined with his calls, as he has had some backlash from some of the players so far.
And now Harris going to step off and throw over to first, keeping tabs on Sam Crail. Pinales took a big jump down the third baseline, anticipating that that ball may have been able to get past. Anthony Heron Jr. would have allowed him to score with ease. 1-0 pitch to Antonacci. Another fastball this time, catching the inner half of the zone. We're back even, a ball and a strike.
No doubt about that one. Antonacci, by the time he realized it was going to be a strike, no chance of even trying to attempt a swing there. It was way too fast in there.
Harris continuing to work from the stretch. Delivers a 1-1 pitch. Antonacci fouling this one off down into the concourse, ricocheting off of the light pole and back onto the field. If you had a ball hitting the light pole here tonight on your bingo card, you can go ahead and scratch that one off.
Seems like he got the timing of it right, but if it was just a bit more inside, he could have definitely had extra bases if just towards that same side there.
Another 1-2 pitch, and it's called strike three on the outer edge of the plate, much to the frustration of the Black Bears crowd here in attendance. The Black Bears send 9 to the plate, and Frederick gets out of the inning, but not before they concede 4 runs, and we're through 6 here at the Mon. It's West Virginia. Top of the seventh we go, and it'll be Chase Smith taking the rubber here for West Virginia. Smith, 6'2", 185 pounds, native of Denver, Colorado, and a senior out of none other than West Virginia University. Very familiar with pitching here at the Mon. Farm delivery, and he'll do so facing Joe Chu, Daniel Figueroa, and Dylan Hoy. Chu standing in 0-for-2, fouls the first pitch off as it was a fastball that time from Smith.
Like you mentioned, he's very accustomed to pitching here. Obviously, spent the year here in the spring. Last game for the Black Bears, though, was on the 19th at Frederick. Only pitched 1 inning there.
0-1 pitch to Chu, waved at and missed. As Chu was well out in front of it, Smith dropping in an off speed. Chu quickly behind, no balls and 2 strikes. Of course, Chase Smith formerly played at Pittsburgh. 0-2 slider missing down and away. A little bit ironic considering the rivalry between Pitt and West Virginia, particularly in football and basketball, but he set the Panthers single season record in 2019 with 33 appearances. 1-2 from Smith, chopped, foul down the third baseline. And Chu will get to see at least one more pitch from the right-hander Smith.
And the sidearm delivery could give some of these batters a bit more trouble, as it's not the most well-known way of pitching in just across all baseball.
1-2 pitch from Chu, waved at and missed as Smith went to the slider again, and it's one gone here in the top of the seventh.
Great movement on that. It did start like he was going to catch at least the outside part, but it completely went almost into the completely outside the right, or the left batter's box. Great delivery there by Smith to get the first out.
The lineup will turn over now. Daniel Figueroa. First pitch from Smith. Fastball that misses down and away at 89. Figueroa 1-for-3 so far here tonight. Scored after reaching on the error from Sam Antonacci, and he fouls the 1-0 pitch off into the berm on the third base side of the ballpark. Evens the count.
Smith comes into this one with a rounded out 6.00 ERA, making his sixth appearance, allowing 10 hits so far in the season.
1-1 pitch from Smith, able to catch the heart of the plate there, and Figueroa quickly behind, a ball and two strikes. Beautiful pitch there from Smith. Looked like the changeup. 1-2 to Figueroa. Missing down and in that time. Evens the count 2-2.
Seemed like an enticing pitch up here from the replay monitor that we have up here, and it just dropped out in the last moment, but Figueroa saw it in all the way. Good discipline there by the left batter.
Smith comes set, delivers the 2-2 pitch. Chopped left side of the infield. Antonacci fields it. Quick throw over to first. Then he beats him by a step. Two gone here in the top of the seventh.
Good job there, Antonacci. Charging in. Was never going to be an easy transition from glove to hand. Does a great job of bringing it in to his midsection and just getting the transition off quickly. Firing it to Hernandez for a very well-executed second out.
Dylan Hoy, last chance here for Frederick in the seventh. Nobody on for him. Hoy so far here today, 0-for-3, came around to score after reaching on a fielder's choice and swiped the bag in the process. Facing Chase Smith. First pitch from Smith, fastball missing outside. Black Bears middle infielders just on the outfield grass. Outfield shaded. The step to the right, anticipating a pull from Dylan Hoy. And the 1-0 pitch is hit the opposite way out into left center field. Sliding attempt there from Chloop. He can't bring it in. Would have to imagine that one goes down as a two-out single there for Dylan Hoy.
Very tough for Antonucci to make that play. I thought it was evidently going to be him, but Chloop calling the ball, but it just seemed to just bounce off there, off the turf, off his glove, and it gives the Frederick Keys a lifeline here.
Kendall Yule now stepping to the plate here for Frederick. 1-for-2 and a walk so far is Yule. Facing Smith, working from the left side of the rubber. Waved at and missed that time was the curveball from Smith. And Yule quickly behind. No balls and a strike.
A little bit of a dangerous location. They're leaving it over the heart of the play at a good level too for Ewer to take a hack at, and he did, but just missed. Just plainly missed on that one.
Smith getting the sign here from Mauricio Milan. 0-1 pitch. Fastball that runs inside. Appeared to almost make contact there with Kendall Yule, but just enough separation between the ball and the batter to even the count, a ball and a strike.
Trying to establish that strike zone there. Keep him off the plate.
1-1 pitch there from Smith. Goes down and away with the curveball again. Yule taking wisely. Gets the advantage now in the count. Two balls and a strike.
And if you're Chase Smith, you definitely don't want to face the hot Hunter Jump, who has singled and doubled in his last two plate appearances.
2-1 pitch. Yule chops it right side. Fielded by Pinales. Flips it over to Hernandez to retire the side. So quick work there in the top of the seventh from Chase Smith, despite allowing the two-out single from Dylan Hoy. It's stretch time here at the Mon. We'll keep you right here for Take Me Out to the Ball Game Black Bears ahead, 7-6. Heart of the order coming to the plate here for the West Virginia Black Bears in the bottom of the seventh. Ryan Hernandez, Hunter May, and Merrick Chloop set to face Hayden Harris, beginning his first inning of work here in the bottom of the seventh after recording the final out in the sixth, in which he got Antonacci to go down looking. First pitch to Hernandez, fastball at 91, waved at and missed by Hernandez for strike one.
Was just at the plate in exactly an inning from now was the igniter to that huge rally that the Black Bears just had, looking to do the same.
0-1 pitch to him. Fastball this time dropped down to 88, but it misses down and away. Back even, a ball and a strike.
Again, good 1-1 count here for Ryan Hernandez to get the opportunity to do something with it.
1-1 pitch, another fastball. Back up to 91, taking at the knees for strike two. You see Brandon Noriega loosening in the Black Bears bullpen. Possibly could have him pitch the top of the eighth. Hernandez chops the 1-2 pitch to the right side, fielded by Chu. Sling over to number one.
Good fielded cleanly again by Chu. Never easy going across to his left side. Got in the glove cleanly. That transition was effortless. And again, good easy out there to get Hernandez going to first.
And now Hunter May, 0 for 3 so far today against Hayden Harris. First pitch, fastball missing outside at 91. Castillo tried to frame it, but a little bit too much movement there of the glove for Brian Fisher's liking. 1-0 pitch, another fastball, almost identical spot, and again, too much movement of the glove for Brian Fisher behind the plate. And now stoppage in play as the Black Bears bullpen apparently threw a baseball on the field. Bullpen shenanigans, always something to watch out for.
You couldn't explain how that baseball got onto the field from a warm-up out there.
2-0 fastball misses above the zone again. And Hayden Harris with his back against the wall here. 3 balls and no strikes as he delivers his pitch. Hunter May with the green light. Waves and misses there. Still a hitter-friendly count nonetheless. Just a late swing there from Hunter May. Pitch home, fastball misses up and away, and he'll flip the bat back towards the dugout. Draws himself a 1-out walk, and Merrick Chloop will get the opportunity to add to his 2-for-3 day in his Black Bears debut.
Harris thought he could get him to just reach out a little bit farther on almost a similar or very similar pitch to the one prior, but too far outside. Hunter May didn't go for it, and the hottest hitter in this lineup now gets a chance to drive in possibly another run here.
Harris coming set from the off speed at 82, able to catch the inner part of the zone for strike one. Harris coming set, keeping tabs on May over at first. Schloop skies this one out into shallow right field. Hoy going to take a step onto the outfield grass and bring that one in for out number two.
It just seemed like he was eager from the two previous hits that he got and wanted to keep it going. It wasn't really a good location for a swing, and it did jam him up, and it was an easy fly out to Hoy, who made the quick second out.
And now Garrick Anglin, stand-in, was hit by a pitch his last time up. Just one at-bat officially recorded. It was when he struck out looking in the second inning. First pitch to Anglin, chopped foul towards the Keys dugout, and it'll make its way past a few outstretched arms as the Keys were trying to field it cleanly. Harris coming set at the belt once again. Pitch home to Anglin, half-hearted swing there. Goes around, no need to appeal out to Chris Richards as Brian Fisher will make the call himself, and Anglin quickly behind. No balls and two strikes.
Realized about halfway through that pitch trot, through that pitch, that he was going to be laying on it, but momentum carried him to swing through anyways.
0-2 pitch. Fastball just misses inside. Harris thought he had rung him up. Instead, it'll go to a ball and two strikes.
I think it was a correct call. Yeah, definitely way too far inside.
Absolutely. 1-2 pitch. Runs in. Almost hits Anglin again. Had to move the back foot out of the way that time.
Very close to hitting him again. He actually moved his right foot out of the way. Late movement there from the lefty pitcher.
Lead off of first. 2-2 pitch fouled to the netting of the backstop by Anglin. He'll fight off another one. Continuing to battle here with two outs in the bottom of the seventh.
Can never avoid reacting to it if you're sitting there in the front row. You know the net's there, but it's very, very scary seeing that ball coming towards you.
Harris coming set on the rubber. Another 2-2. Anglin spoiling it off again, this time deflecting off the netting above the Black Bears dugout. Garrick Anglin just continuing to check off panels of the netting here around the park that he just continues to foul pitches off to. Harris continues to labor. Another 2-2, and Anglin spoils it again. Little bit of a late swing, but he fouls it off down the first base line, and it'll carry onto the field of play. So a member of the Black Bears bullpen will have to quickly come out onto the field and grab that one.
Good fight here by Anglin just to make Harris work, making him earn this third out.
Another 2-2. Fastball misses down and in, and Anglin continuing to battle, as Manny you just mentioned, and now ahead in the count, three balls and two strikes.
Seemed to give Harris a quick look out there. That was the third almost hit by pitch there on just this at-bat.
Oh. And now step off from Harris as May takes off for second, and he's in there in time as the throw from Anthony Heron Jr. went to Harold Cole covering the bag, and Hunter May swipes in behind the tag. Unbelievable base running here from Hunter May.
Again, yeah, he definitely got in there. Good decision to go with the foot-first slide there. Just beat Cole's tag there, and we're in. It seems like the Blackbirds.
3-2 pitch set to come here from Harris. Fouled off by Anglin, continuing to fight as Castillo went down to a split. Trying to field that one.
Very fortunate to get something on that. It was a very ugly swing at that, but got something on it, and the at-bat will continue.
Harris coming set. Another payoff pitch, and that one's ripped to short. Cole up with it, firing across the diamond for the final out. So the Black Bears, little bit of offense there in terms of a one-out walk from Hunter May, but he stranded on the bases as we're through seven here at Mon County Ballpark, and it's West Virginia 7, Frederick 6. Brandon Noriega taking the mound here for West Virginia in the top of the eighth, as it's a scoreless inning of work there for Chase Smith in the seventh, conceding just the one hit, striking out one. And Manny, it's been a solid day for the Black Bears bullpen so far, as they've worked three innings and conceded just two runs.
Absolutely, and again, it seems like we're finally getting that close game that the last two games could have been if it weren't for that big offensive performance in one inning from the Black Bears. And I'm very excited to see how this goes. Like you mentioned, the relievers have been very good up till this point. Can they continue to do the job and close this one out? It would be a huge win to earn an ugly win here at home for the Black Bears.
And Noriega will face Hunter Jump, Harold Cole, Jake Plastiak. As we see Jed Jerko with a little bit of manager magic, as Noriega will be brought in to face the lefty Hunter Jump. Plastiak switch hitter, and as for Cole, a right-hander. So a little bit of a confidence boost here for Noriega would be to retire Jump, as the first pitch fastball at 95 runs up and in. Certainly haven't seen that velocity all game in the mid to upper 90s. 1-0 pitch. That one's hit hard. Antonacci fields it cleanly over to first. One away in the top of the eighth.
An ideal start there for Noriega. And do not be fooled. Even though there are some power hitters coming up, Noriega will for sure not change his approach. And we'll see plenty of fastballs to see daring these hitters to see if they can keep up with the velocity that he has on that.
Now Harold Cole will stand in. Today a pair of strikeouts and a flyout to Sam Crail in his last time up. First pitch fastball there from Noriega, just missing the outer half of the plate. Cole ahead in the count and a ball and no strikes. Noriega comes set, delivers. Chop down the left field line. Anglin long throw across the diamond, and it beats Cole by a step for out number two. Tremendous work defensively there for Garrick Anglin to rob Harold Cole of a hit.
Anglin made that look a lot easier than it definitely was. His momentum was carrying him outside the baseline there, but he still flung it across his body across the diamond, and perfect throw on the money to Ryan Hernandez to record a quick second out.
And now the ever-dangerous Jake Plastiak, 1-for-3 with that moonshot of a home run back in the fourth inning. Power against power here with Noriega at the plate. First pitch to Plastiak, a fastball that's fouled off and out of play on the first base side of the ballpark. No balls and a strike to the Keys DH.
Like you said, Drew, we saw that moonshot, but that was out of the left-handed batter's box, now batting righty. See if that changes anything to the success he has at the plate.
0-1 pitch, off speed, just missing that outer edge of the plate. Evens the count, a ball and a strike as Noriega dropped beautiful off-speed pitch in there, just didn't catch enough of the zone. Noriega works exclusively from the stretch, brings the pitch home. Another fastball ramped it up to 97, and Plastiak fouls it into section 108. And now the chaos begins for young Black Bears fans trying to take home a souvenir. Never too late to take home a souvenir.
That is absolutely correct. And again, 1-2, Noriega finds himself in a good spot here. You have to think this will happen.
1-2 pitch. It is, in fact, the fastball 98 on the gun for Brandon Noriega. Threw it so hard he lost his hat, but it misses inside.
Yeah, just overdid it a little bit. The location was just too far inside. Almost a perfect pitch, a perfect retired to the side it would have been, but has to do it again here.
2-2 from Noriega. Another fastball misses down below the knees. The counter run full to Plastiak. And the velocity here from Noriega has gotten the attention of the Black Bears bullpen. They're all standing up, lined up against the fence. As in the Frederick bullpen, Cannon Pickell warms up. Payoff pitch from Noriega. Waved at and missed as Noriega's fired up coming off the mound. Another punch out there against Jake Plastiak as the Keys go down in order in the top of the eighth. We head to the Black Bears half of the inning. It's West Virginia 7 and Frederick 6. Bottom of the eighth, as Cannon Pickell makes his way to the mound for Hayden Harris, who went an inning and a third scoreless, getting the Keys out of a tough jam that John Paul Ramos Pena got themselves into, and then being able to carry on over the course of another inning, as he'll face Caden Tranquil, Mauricio Milan, Xavier Pinales, 7, 8, and 9 in the West Virginia lineup.
And the Mayock, North Carolina native will give the Black Bears their last licks here to do anything they can to increase their lead and go into the ninth with a lot more reassurance. Again, that'll be up to Tranquil, who did get the party started last time the Black Bears got runs across the plate.
Tranquil standing in 2-for-3, double and a single. Infield shaded to the right here against the lefty Tranquil. First pitch from Pickell. Fastball in 91 taken for a strike. Jedjerko already warming up his closer down there in the right field bullpen, Trey Braithwaite, as Pickell drops 74 mile per hour curveball on the outer half, but just a bit too far outside for Brian Fisher's liking. 1-1 from Pickell, grounded right side, scooped up by Herron. He'll step on the bag himself, one away in the bottom of the eighth.
And a pretty routine ground out here, but nonetheless, it seems like it has almost everybody in this ballpark this last couple innings on the edge of their seats, as I'm sure we're in for a good closeout to this ball game, as you mentioned, Drew.
Mauricio Milan coming to the plate so far today is Milan. Pickell working from the windup. First pitch missing down and away to the Black Bears catcher. Outfield shaded slightly to the right. Looping curveball there from Pickell, trying to catch the top corner of the zone, but unable to do so. Milan extends his advantage to two balls and no strikes.
Good discipline there by Milan to hold up on that one. You'd always think batters get excited once they see a looping one in there like that, but
2-0 fastball from Pickell, misses down and in. Milan in the driver's seat here of this at-bat. Pickell working from the windup, 3-0 fastball missing down and in, and it's a four-pitch walk from Mauricio Milan to bring up Xavier Pinales.
And even though Milan hasn't gotten a hit, his at-bats have still been pretty quality for the most part, other than that last strikeout, and he makes Pickell work out there, and he gets on the first base.
Xavier Pinales, 1-for-3 so far today, including the triple in the sixth inning, which capped off a four-run inning for West Virginia, drove in the go-ahead run as the first pitch to him. Fastball spiked in the dirt. Milan getting his lead off of first. Pickell goes to the stretch. Comes set and delivers. Waved at and missed there. Pinales fooled by the curveball. Even a ball and a strike.
Not the best of swings there. He was way too early on that. As we could tell up here by the replay monitor. Good pitch there, though, by Pickell to completely fool Pinales.
One ball catching the outer half of the plate, taken for a strike two. Pinales falling behind in the count.
Definitely didn't like that call. Pinales had some words there with Fish, or just gave him a look of disappointment there.
Castillo setting up outside. 1-2 from Pickell. Fastball well low, but Castillo making his best effort to frame it. Brian Fisher behind the plate, certainly not fooled.
He got him pretty good with the curveball last time inside. Look for him to do it here again.
Pickell comes set, 2-2 pitch. Spiked in the dirt, gets away from Castillo, and it allows Milan to advance 90 feet. And the counter run full to Pinales.
Was correct on the curveball, but just right off the chest of Castillo, and it just passed. Went on by him to the back of here. Easy base for Milan.
58-foot breaking ball comes back to haunt Pickell as it gets away from his battery mate Castillo. That'll go down as a wild pitch. Milan now in scoring position for Pinales. Pickell comes set. 3-2 pitch. Misses down and in. Two on, one out. And the top of the order comes to the plate here for West Virginia.
And consecutive walks there, quality walks there by both Milan and Pinales to make Pickell work out of the bullpen. And now you have the more favorable top of the lineup here for Pickell to face.
It'll be Sam Crail, who has really had a day to forget at the plate. 0-for-3, most recently walked in the sixth, but has had some swings that he would like to forget about here today. First pitch to him. Fastball on the outer half of the plate. Pickell trying to get it there, but just a bit too far outside. The Black Bears crowd here in attendance trying to give Crail a little boost of confidence. 1-0 from Pickell. Fastball at 90, well above the save that one from the backstop. Would have easily advanced both runners and taken the traditional double play out of order.
And you would have to assume that the Frederick Keys had Sam Carroll near the top of their scouting report and wanted to take him out of the game as much as they can have done so far.
2-0 pitch. Fastball in the dirt. Throw down to second. Tag applied by Harold Cole. Not successful, and the count goes to 3-0 on Crail.
Had to get it off the bounce, but it's still a very accurate throw there by Castillo. A lot closer call than it really should have been.
Crail continuing to fight. Pickell looking to record an out. Already one down, 3-0 pitch. Fastball taken on the outer half of the plate for a strike as Crail clearly taking all the way. Pickell working from the stretch, gets his sign from Castillo. Delivers a 3-1. Another fastball on the outer edge of the plate. Crail thought it was ball four, but shakes his head in disgust and has to circle back to the batter's box.
It did seem to catch the plate there a little bit. I'll give the benefit of the doubt to Brian Fisher on that one. That one's the closest one that it has been for those situations.
Payoff pitch to Crail, misses down and away, ball four, and the bases are loaded full of black bears for Sam Antonacci.
We mentioned it before, it's not so much that the black bears get a ton of hits or get that many more hits than their opponents. It's the discipline that they really show at the plate that gets them in these great situations that they find themselves in yet again.
Antonacci standing in, bases loaded. A hit back in the first inning. Also drew a walk in the fourth before consecutive strikeouts in the fifth and sixth. And now Jed Jerko comes out to have a quick word with Brian Fisher. Not exactly sure what this could be about.
Really could be anything. We've seen a lot of displeasure from the Black Bears players at Fisher's calls. It could be possibly a warning to Jed Jerko over that. We aren't sure.
Jed Jerko makes his way back to the Black Bears dugout. Takes his usual spot there on the flight of stairs closest to home plate. And Sam Antonacci's at bat is set to begin. Braithwaite looming in the Black Bears bullpen. First pitch from Pickell. Antonacci fouls it off back beyond section 101 for a long strike one.
Again, we talked about the discipline that this Black Bears team shows. Don't try and bite at something that could otherwise be called a ball and work another. It'll be an easy run if you just walk it in.
0-1 pitch, looping curveball, gets away from Castillo, and Milan's going to break for the plate. The throw won't get there in time. The throw will get away, and now a second runner breaks for the plate. The tag applied, attempt by the pitcher, Pickell, and the ball gets away from him. Two runs will score, and just like that, it's 9-6 Black Bears.
This aggressive base running just continues to pay dividends to the Black Bears. We saw one runner take off the plate. Milan gets there easily, and it seemed like the throw was affected, obviously, by Milan's path across the plate. But nonetheless, it only gets to Hoy, who throws it back to Pickell, but who loses the ball on the transition. Two easy runs there for the Black Bears.
Sam Crail advances to third in the process. 0-1 pitch, misses outside, rather 1-1, should say, now two balls and a strike. Infield drawn in here for the Keys. Pitch misses down and in. Antonacci in the driver's seat here.
In here trying to prevent another run from crossing the plate.
Pitch home from Pickell. Antonacci fouls it off over the awning on the third base side. Even 2-2.
Almost a spotless game in terms of errors for the Keys, but possibly their only one could have been the most crucial one as it drove in two more runs.
Kakel comes set on the rubber, brings the 2-2 pitch home, misses down and in. Rather, that was in fact 3-2. As thought I got ahead of myself there, but Antonacci will draw the walk and bring up Ryan Hernandez.
As we get another mound visit here.
This is going to be manager Joe Oliver as we see the left field bullpen door open. Pickell done after just recording one out. Rather abrupt appearance there for Cannon Pickell, as he's given up two runs, still responsible for Crail and Antonacci. So we see who Joe Oliver turns to next. It'll be Riley Letourneau out of the Frederick bullpen. Letourneau standing at 6'5", 210 pounds, out of Madison College in Wisconsin. Native of the state of Wisconsin from Brookfield, looking to get Fredericks through these final two outs.
And these last couple pitchers have been on the more younger side again. Cannon Pickell comes in, born in 02. And again, you'd have to think that after two attempts of, or after really one attempt of really one of these younger pitchers having success out there, that being Zach Sabo, Ramos Pena, again, being on the younger side, kind of struggled out there. And then Hayden Harris was another exception. And then Pickell, another young arm out there that kind of put this pressure on him, seemed to crumble a little bit. And
absolutely, of course. Letourneau, 150 ERA in 10 appearances at Madison College, struck out 15. Looking to close the door here on the West Virginia offense. Madison College Wolfpack made it to the JUCO Division II World Series for the fourth straight season. They lost in the championship game to Pearl River, so Letourneau, very recent addition to this Frederick Keys roster as a result of making it to the JUCO Division II World Series. As Letourneau gets the opportunity to warm up here with David Castillo. This time we'll take a look at some out-of-town scores here in the MLB Draft League. Trenton ahead of State College 5-4 in the top of the ninth. Thunder looking to add to their lead with a runner on first base. And as for the other matchup here in the MLB Draft League, Mahoning Valley Scrappers ahead of the Williamsport Crosscutters by a score of 6-4. With one out in the top of the sixth. So the game-tying run currently at the plate for the Crosscutters. As Letourneau's warm-up period has came to an end, and Ryan Hernandez will stand in.
The farthest thing from the ideal first assignment you want to face out here for Letourneau, as Hernandez has already doubled and reached on a fielder's choice, but the double will only go down as the official hit. Good spot here for your three-hitter to drive in yet another run.
Crail over at third, Antonacci at first. Working here is Letourneau as pitch is fouled off. Antonacci was immediately gunning for a second to take the double play out of order, but he'll have to trot back to first base and would anticipate now a little bit of a from Riley Letourneau, just to keep tabs on Antonacci. And Antonacci takes off again. Pitch runs up and in. Throw down to third as the runner Crail got a bit away from the bag. Crail able to get back in safely. Count evens a ball and a strike to Ryan Hernandez.
And the throw almost got away from Chu there. A bit of a high throw there from Castillo, making the young third baseman extend to his max limits there, but was able to get it. And now really in danger are the Frederick Keys of allowing one, possibly even two more runs.
Bring the infield in, and Hernandez waves and misses there at an off-speed pitch that was down and away. Hernandez now behind a ball and two strikes. He's looking to cut a play down at the plate if possible. Letourneau works from the stretch. Comes set at the belt and deals. Fastball at 94, misses down and in. We're back even 2-2.
And a strikeout here won't hurt you as much as a ground out won't, as you won't get a run in, but you still get that last out.
Hernandez looking to do some damage here in the eighth. As Letourneau comes set. The 2-2. Fastball at 93 below the knees. The count will run full.
Now, obviously, if you're the Keys, you'd rather, if you had to choose, walk Hernandez rather than giving him, throwing something over the plate for a strike, but possibly getting, letting him get a hold of one here.
And even on 3-2, the Keys going to pitch to Hernandez. Payoff pitch. Waved at and missed. Drop third strike. Castillo will have to fire down to first to complete the punch out. But a big out number two there for Frederick. And now Hunter May will stand in.
Very good breaking ball as we see it there. Just never really a chance to even cross the plate there. It looked a lot better up from up here than the monitor showed. But a big out there for Letourneau, who give themselves a bit of a chance here in the last inning coming up.
And with two outs, the infield has moved back here for Frederick to give themselves as much time to react to a ground ball from Hunter May. Runners at second and third, waved at and missed there on an off-speed pitch was Hunter May from Letourneau for strike one.
Seems like Letourneau found something that the Black Bears have struggled to hit. These back-to-back breaking ball pitches over the outside part of the plate that are really giving the Black Bears some fits here.
0-1 pitch to May. Fastball knee-high for strike two. May now in a little bit of a hole here with Crail down at third, Antonacci at second, two runners in scoring position here for West Virginia, already ahead by three. 0-2 pitch from Letourneau, and it's called strike three on the outer edge of the plate. Hunter May knew it almost immediately, but not before the Black Bears tack on two insurance runs. As we head to the top of the ninth, it's Trey Braithwaite time when we come back, looking to close this one out here in game one. West Virginia 9, Frederick 6. Three outs away here from Mon County Ballpark for the Black Bears, looking to make it six wins in a row and seven consecutive wins over the Frederick Keys to start the 2022 MLB Draft League season, as Trey Braithwaite will look to slam the door and record a save. Coming into this one, Braithwaite a 3.60 ERA here in the MLB Draft League, and he'll be facing David Castillo Anthony Heron Jr., and Joe Chu.
We saw Brathwaite earlier, just in this week against Williamsport, pitched one inning in that one, allowing one hit and two strikeouts.
First pitch from Brathwaite pumps the fastball there by Castillo at 96 for strike one. Brathwaite, star here at WVU out of Randy Mazey's bullpen, transferred in after spending four seasons at Navy, as Castillo fouls the 95-mile-per-hour fastball to the backstop quickly behind. No balls and two strikes.
There's no doubt why Trey Brathwaite is their closer this season. Again, like you mentioned, that experience is there, but has already recorded 10 strikeouts so far in this MLB Draft League season.
First team all Big 12, and he blows the fastball by David Castillo. Three pitches, three strikes, one out for Trey Brathwaite.
He is the closer. That almost unhittable fastball shows it off there again, and the catcher, for a native of Panama, cannot get anywhere close to it. First out for the Black Bears.
Now it'll bring up Anthony Heron Jr. First pitch to Heron Jr., another fastball at 96. Waved at and missed for strike one. Brathwaite continues to work here from the windup. Waved at and missed again. 95 from the Black Bears right-hander. And I'll tell you what, this is a treat right now watching Trey Brathwaite.
A real clinic here by Brathwaite. Really not sugarcoating anything, going right at these hitters.
0-2 pitch fouled off by Anthony Heron, back and out of play. Keeps the count right where it is. On pace for the potential immaculate inning before Anthony Heron Jr. fouled that pitch off. Another 0-2, and he fouls it off again, this time hitting the netting directly behind home plate. Turner Spoljarek out of the dugout, being designated as a ball retriever here tonight, as we've seen him do so quite often. Brathwaite comes set on the rubber. Waved at and missed as Brathwaite went off speed. Delivered a changeup that time. Black Bears one out away from taking game one of the series.
Just a very smart pitch there. You've just pumped the fastball in there seemingly for all the pitches so far. It would have only logical to throw the changeup there, and smart choice there. Two outs there for the fifth-year player out of WVU.
Now it'll bring up Joe Chu, who takes a fastball down and away for ball one. Very large age gap here. Joe Chu standing in at just 18 years of age compared to Brathwaite, who will turn 25 in September as the 1-0 fastball misses up and away.
You hate to say it. Almost seems a bit unfair the way Brathwaite has come out of the bullpen tonight, but we'll take this at bat anyway.
Pitch home, fouled off by Chu to the backstop. Chu still ahead in the count, two balls and a strike. Figueroa on deck in the event that Chu reaches, and he fouls his pitch off into the netting directly above the Black Bears dugout. And Joe Chu and the Frederick Keys down to their final strike. The Black Bears crowd starting to get into it here. Brathwaite already two punch outs in the inning. 2-2 pitch. Misses down away with the fastball, and the count runs full to Joe Chu. So crowd will have to wait just a little bit longer here. Brathwaite coming set on the rubber. Payoff pitch. Waved at and missed. He struck him out. Brathwaite strikes out the side. Records the save. And the Black Bears take game one of the series 7-6. Six wins in a row, seven straight here against the Frederick Keys.
Again, I thought we were going to get up here, but that fastball, again, I don't know what Brathwaite had this morning or what the Frederick Keys possibly did to him to pitch with such venom, such just control of that fastball. No doubt about it. Strikes out the sides and emphatically closes the door on any chance the Keys had tonight in making any attempt at a comeback.
Absolutely, and The Black Bears came from behind in this one as Drew Von Sayo here with my broadcast partner Manny Maradigue gets set to wrap this one up. It was scoreless through the first three innings of play. Frederick tacked on four runs in the top of the fourth, really blew this game wide open, highlighted by a three-run home run off the bat of Jake Plastiak. But as we've seen, the Black Bears clawed their way back. They drove in three of their own, and decisive response there from West Virginia as Merrick Chloop singled in the first run of the game, and then Caden Trenkel with the RBI double to right field that drove in Chloop to get the Black Bears within a run there, also scoring Garrick Anglin. And then the Keys responded with two runs of their own in the top of the fifth as they once again established a three-run lead. That was off the bat of Hunter Jump, doubling to Sam Crail, scoring Joe Chu and Dylan Hoy. Then in the bottom of the sixth, Merrick Chloop scoring Ryan Hernandez with a single to center field. Caden Trenkel, another RBI to his name, scoring Chloop. And then Xavier Pinales, the triple to right center field, scoring Garrick Anglin and Caden Trenkel here in this contest. And Manny, we saw in the two games against Williamsport where it was one big inning that really did it for the Black Bears. Didn't really have that today, but did enough to get themselves over the hump, came back from two three-run deficits, and ultimately found themselves on top.
Absolutely, and I think it's just, again, credit to this West Virginia team to have the heart and have the determination in really throughout every member of this lineup, because it's usually we do see kind of the top half of the lineup really getting it going, and then the other half kind of follows their example. But this time it was the 8-9 and one hitter after that to really kind of set the table, and it was none bigger than Xavier Pinales' hit to into right center to really blow this game open for the Black Bears and finally give them the lead, or their first lead, I should say, in this whole game. And from then on, it really kind of took the air out of the Frederick Keys players to be leading so much of this game, and then to finally give it up there towards the end. It was a real morale breaker for this Keys team.
Take a look, West Virginia. Four scoreless innings from the sixth on. Tommy Green, a scoreless inning. Chase Smith, scoreless inning. Brandon Noriega, scoreless inning. And then, of course, Trey Braithwaite, a scoreless inning of his own. And when you get that back end of the bullpen that can really make a difference, keep the opponent off the board, it speaks volumes to how the Black Bears have been successful. Of course, Matthew Tiding had an interesting outing, went four innings, gave up four runs, three of which were earned. Started the outing nine up, nine down, and then started to tire there in the fourth, was able to come away with just those three runs that were earned against him, four in total. As tonight's winning pitcher will go to Tommy Green after his scoreless sixth inning. The Black Bears took the lead in that bottom half of the inning. And as for Frederick, tonight's losing pitcher goes against John Paul Ramos Pena as a result of his two-thirds of an inning, conceding four runs, all of which were earned on four hits. Did not walk a batter, but struck out one, so little bit of a positive there to take away if you're the young right-hander in John Paul Ramos Pena. Black Bears will be back in action tomorrow night here at Mon County Ballpark for fireworks night. Pitch will begin at 7:05, so pregame show will be scheduled for 6:35 here at the Mon. The Black Bears looking to keep the momentum going. Six consecutive wins dating back to the first game last weekend against these Frederick Keys, and as I mentioned now, seven wins in a row against these Keys, seven of eight wins here for the Black Bears against these Frederick Keys. And Manny, your final thoughts here on this one?
Again, I think we got treated to a bit of a different game tonight, but a game that I think a lot of people wouldn't have minded seeing after two convincing wins here at the Mon. Obviously, yesterday's was canceled. I think a lot of people would agree was nice to see this Black Bears team tested up by a keen Frederick Keys team that came in very hot off of their last game series, and they came in here kind of shocked us a little bit with their heavy hitters, but in the end, the Black Bears prevailed due to a combined effort from both the offense providing the runs and the security on the back end by Noriega getting it started, and Brathwaite really closing the door and everything. So a well-rounded, a good team win for this Black Bears team to keep the streak going.
Absolutely, as the Black Bears improve to 8-10 on the season, Frederick falling to 9-9, as it has now been 6 of 8 wins for the Black Bears against the Frederick Keys. Was forgetting about the fact that Frederick took one game the first time these two teams met, but nonetheless, still an impressive result here for West Virginia. As mentioned, tomorrow night being fireworks night, first pitch at 7:05. Pregame show will begin promptly at 6:35 here on the Black Bears Radio Network. As we wrap things up here from Mon County Ballpark, special shout out to everybody in the video production room, along with the front office here of the West Virginia Black Bears, including General Manager Leanne Sonato. For my broadcast partner, Manny Maradiegue, I am Drew Von Staya. We'll be back here tomorrow night. Pregame show beginning at 6:35 and first pitch at 7:05.